dear baby. Make up your mind, tell me what you wanna do. Come on, baby, and let your body go.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston. This is the 19th of June edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison, master of the Zuzuvuela.
What?
The Zuzuvuela.
By the way, that sucked for that beginning, you know.
Bite me.
Somebody give me a picnic
so
lunch.
So what's wrong with your Zuzuvuela?
Zuzuvuela.
Whatever.
It's that instrument they keep playing at the World Cup games.
Oh.
Yeah. It sounds like you have like you got a brand new batteries in your vibrator and left it on for 45 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Except you actually get pleasure out of the vibrator, not the Zuzuvuela.
Oh, I see. Okay. And I'm Jimmy Carper. I am the longest running co-executive producer here.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the newest co-executive producer.
Yeah.
So what's what?
Why
do you bring up the Zuzuvuela?
Zuzuvuela.
Whatever.
Because it's an annoying thing, and I just thought it would be interesting. I've been watching a lot of soccer. Yeah.
He's been watching a lot of men playing with balls.
Have you go to any of the news websites, like even the local stations, the Houston Chronicle, they all have a section on the hottest soccer players.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I have to be watching it. You know. And like I said, it's this annoying instrument they have that if you listen to one of these games, you just hear this, sounds like a swarm of bumblebees around the microphone. And everyone has been complaining about it. It's all you can hear is this. So like I said, it sounds like someone, you know.
Okay.
You put fresh batteries in, and you know, it lasts for about 45 minutes, and you run around your house for 15 minutes trying to find new batteries, and once you do, you plug them back in, you're good for another 45 minutes.
That's why you should always get the gas-powered dildos.
Or the plug-in ones?
Yeah.
You want cordless at least, you know?
No. They're not strong enough.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, you remember back when it was a hand crank. Get up out in front. And
right. Okay.
Happy Pride
Happy
Week.
Happy Pride. That's right. This is the Saturday before Pride. Next week, we will be bringing you the rundown.
The sweatiest, smelliest, stinkiest show of ours.
Aren't you glad it's radio?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Yeah, bring the incense next week, guys. We're going to need it.
Woo-wee. That's when we invite anyone from the parade to stop by and give your
2 cents worth.
Yeah. How you liked it, what you liked about it.
What you didn't like about it.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. I fully expect Jack Valinsky to be here. Our whole crew will be here talking, and anybody who comes in the door.
Exactly.
We are open house on Pride Night.
Yep. And also, let's say Happy Father's Day to all the dads and daddies.
Hey, unquote, daddy.
Quote unquote daddies out there.
Papi chulo.
So.
Hey.
What?
Don't talk about Papi.
What?
Bobby's going to be a mommy in a couple of months.
That's right. You and Carlos Rivera have deal going.
They did the weigh-off.
Yeah, Friday. And it's like they weigh almost the same.
That's what I heard.
Which scared Carlos, I think. Or, I'm sorry, Carlita.
And the one who loses the most will be the winner. And the one who doesn't will have to do drag in a fundraiser.
At a benefit at the end of September.
Yes.
Doing.
For
the Resurrection MCC Food Pantry.
Yeah.
So
how apropos.
Well, originally I was going to have it where because Carlos is a member of the Bears and mm-hmm. I'm a member of Houston Big Men's Club, we were going to do it for our respective charities. And the Big Men's Club is Resurrection MCC Food Pantry.
Right.
I mean, all the benefits I've done here have had a side benefit for
right.
them.
Right.
And Carlos said, well, let's just do it all for the food pantry, which is good, because that's the beginning of the season when they really need to start getting,
you bet,
you know,
you bet,
the food in. And so that's what we're going to do. And, you know, the one who loses the least percentage of body weight.
Well, since you're, you know, almost the same weight, you're like 4 pounds difference. It's
when he put that point in there, I think he thought he was 20 pounds lighter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's kind of like we're on this kind of collision course. I'm going downwards and he's going upwards. So
I beg your pardon?
On the scales.
Oh.
So be interesting to see what happens to Carlita, as I kept referring to him yesterday.
Yeah, well, he was trash talking you too.
He was trashed. Yeah, no, it was. I hope this is all in fun.
Of course it is. For a great cause too.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things that it grew out of something. We don't. I'm not 100% sure how it happened. I know we're.
I'll bet alcohol was involved.
Yes, alcohol was involved, and
it's always involved when Chris is around.
Somehow we both remembered it, and.
Or somebody who had a lesser amount of alcohol who overheard it remembered.
No, because we told. I think the person who Carlos told was Marcia. So there's no chance in hell that was less alcohol.
Well, that's true. She loves her refreshing beverages.
Because that was and that was before she was flogged.
Mm. Well,
yeah, that was some party.
boy, and I missed out on that.
She'll do anything for charity, won't she?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm going to quit hanging over you and go in.
Oh, okay.
Go in there with the...
Go in with the regular stuff. And, well, we don't have a whole lot of stuff going on this week because...
Let me get the studio set up over
here. It's Pride Week, and everyone's gearing up for the parade and the festival next weekend. Festival happening over around the other end of Lovett Boulevard from the radio station from noon until 7 next Saturday, and the parade will be starting promptly at 8:45 at Woodhead and Westheimer. That's the unofficial start. The official start is at Dunleavy and Westheimer.
Yeah. Yeah, because all the floats go down Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
So. Mm-hmm.
Well, some go in one. There's two streets that feed up to Westheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just depends on where you are and how they stage us.
Okay.
Check the website and see if maybe they tell us where we're at yet.
Oh.
And so for Pride Week... this Monday night will be the fourth Monday of the month, and that means it's time for Queer Music Heritage with J.D. Doyle, heard every month on Queer Voices, heard from 9 to 11 right here on good old KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. This month, he's calling this show the Harvey Milk Music, and it was his mission to gather together music about and related to the Harvey Milk story. This show is not a history lesson. There are ample resources for that. But to my knowledge, no one has gathered together the musical impact of his life. He affected and continues to affect people on a personal level. So it's natural that a number of musicians and songwriters have been driven to create their own tributes. Also, this edition of QMH contains a first, a song written and recorded especially for this show. I'm honored and delighted to share that premiere of the song Give 'Em Hope, written by Tim Kaine and Brett Allen Basil, and sung by the band Boys Entrance. So,
Catholic choir?
there's music from Danny Elfman, who wrote Harvey's theme from the Milk soundtrack, Mark Isham, who wrote the theme from The Times of Harvey Milk, which is a very beautiful, haunting melody. We've got the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus, Joan Baez, Romanowski and Phillips, the Harvey Milk Opera, if you will remember that, several years ago, Queer Conscience, Atlanta Gay Men's Chorus, and a whole bunch of other folks. So, tune in next Monday night, or go to queermusicheritage.com and check it out, because there's a part two if you go to the website that you will not hear on the show, because he's gathered together actually 2 hours of music. So check that out. I believe you're next.
Oh, okay.
Wes?
Sorry, I was looking up where we're going to be at. I did find the street closures up there, too, so we can announce those.
Oh, good.
Everywhere.
Yeah, just say...
Readers, go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got quite a few of the street closures on there and everything. So, you going in there, Jimmy?
What? I can read something else.
Anyway, let's see. What do we... All right. On Sunday, June 20th, the Houston GLBT Pride Interfaith Worship Service, co-sponsored by the Center with the Affirming Ministerial Alliance at 7 p.m. over at Grace Evangelical Lutheran Church, 2515 Wah. Then on the 24th, Thursday, Lawrence versus Texas commemoration and John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner scholarship presentation at 7 p.m. over at the community center. Then on Saturday, June 26th, is Pride Day. They'll have a center booth at Pride Day. For more information about the community center, you can go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org or visit them at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. The Daddy of Montrose Contest 2010 on Sunday, June 20th, 2010 at 5 p.m. over at Michael's Outpost at 1419 Richmond.
Sunday!
You're late.
You missed the first one, Mary, and you're late on the second one.
Yeah. You're way late, buddy. This is directed by Daddy Eric Suits. If you haven't got your application in already, you're a bit late.
They can do it tomorrow.
They can do it tomorrow?
You can still... Yeah, hell okay. Yeah.
And you can also... and if you're listening right now, go on to daddyofmontrose.org. This is all benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities. And let's see, what do we got here?
Did you give the address for Michael's Outpost?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You were around the corner from Jimmy's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you weren't listening.
And that's what's...
I was taking care of business.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Judy Reeves.
Is this a pocket door?
Old Dyke Down!
I thought it was in Louisiana.
No, Netherlands.
Oh. Then the History of Montrose documentary features the MCC and Spry. 1 year after its original debut on the Houston PBS Channel 8, is once again airing Montrose, Texas, The Transformation of a Neighborhood, coinciding with the Pride... coinciding with Pride. Mm-hmm. The program will air at 10:30 p.m. on Wednesday, June 23rd, and again at 3:30 a.m. on Tuesday, June 29th.
Hell, 10:30 p.m.?
10:30 p.m.
That's early for it, Channel 8 to show gay programming.
I know. And then they're going to do it at 3:30 in the morning?
That's normal for Channel 8.
That's when the gays go.
Yeah, they do that. So. They like to do the gay stuff.
That's why they announced when In the Life was on last month. In fact, it was on at 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. It usually is.
No, normally it's on at 1:30, you know.
Yeah, Monday morning.
Yeah, just, you know, it's usually after, that, this concludes, and in the life, it's either, you know, the national anthem is played, or those scary teachers come out with their overhead projectors trying to teach you
math
or something else.
Oh, yeah.
That's good old Channel 8.
I'll get you every time.
I know, Ernie's over there trying to work them, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess it means the pledge drive's finally over if they have the gay programming on during a normal hour.
Yeah. Probably. Shall we move on to him, or shall we do those street closures real quick?
Whatever you'd like.
Well, find out where we're at.
Well, I can't find it. It's not up there. But they are saying the street closures. The following streets will be closed from Friday, June 25th at 7 p.m. until Sunday, June 27th. There you go. Do your Sunday now.
Sunday. Friday.
Go. Yes, Friday, June 25th at 7 p.m. until Sunday, June 27th at 3 a.m.
Wow.
These following streets will be closed. Yoakum Boulevard between Westheimer and Hawthorne.
Big loss.
Yeah. Love It between Gus Track and Montrose.
No big loss.
Commonwealth between Westheimer and Lovett.
Okay.
Mount Vernon between Westheimer and Lovett.
Okay. Well, you see, that's a whole area there where there's very little traffic anyway.
Except cruising.
So, it's not a bad deal.
They said they're not going to announce the spots until Monday.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, well, look for us at the ass end of the parade.
Okay.
My turn?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, boy, am I the theater queen? Theater Suburbia presents the Houston premiere of a scintillating suspense thriller, Panic.
Don't sound so thrilled about it.
Paris, 1963. Director Henry Lockwood has come to the City of Lights for the premiere of his new film, Panic. Hell with that. Lockwood expects nothing more than to enjoy another cinematic success and to bask in the adulation of a young French film critic, Alain Duplay. When Lockwood is accused of a crime that could destroy his career and his marriage, he is forced to confront the truth about himself and those closest to him. Lockwood, known over the world as the Sultan of Suspense, is caught in a nightmare straight out of one of his own films. Playing through June 3rd, Fridays and Saturday shows are at 8:30, Sundays.
Sunday.
What the?
Apparently we're sitting on a feather duster. June 20th and 27th is 3 p.m. matinees. Make your reservations early by calling 713-682-3525. Registrations are suggested for the best seat assignments in the house. Walk-ins are welcome. Tell them you heard it on After Hours. And buy one, get one free.
That's right. Two tickets for the price of one.
For more information, you go to theatrosuburbia.com or org. Dot com. Remember, theater is spelled that highfalutin way with an R-E.
That's right.
Theater New West in the Holocaust. Oh, I saw a shadow. I thought maybe she was walking in to yell at me.
Oh.
Theater Suburbia and Holocaust Museum Houston are proud to present the Laramie Project. This will be going from June 24th up until... I got all this promo crap in here first. June 24th, 26th, July 10th, 11th, 15th, 17th, 22nd, and 24th. The performance on July 10th will be featuring Matthew Shepard's mother, Judy Shepard, will be there on Saturday, June 10th. For more information, go to theaternewwest.com, and once again, they spell it the highfalutin.
Yeah. Dennis Queens.
Opening next weekend at Stage Door, Inc. is Frog and Toad. That is their children's production that will be running on for approximately a month. Fridays and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m. They've also started their academy, and coming up then after that is going to be, they're going to do Alice in Wonderland Jr.
Cool.
And we'll be having them in here in 2 weeks.
We will.
Normally they are here opening weekend, but they figured dragging all the children, or the, not the children that are in the play, but bringing in the people up here to the Montrose next week would be a little crazy.
Oh.
Something about a little bit of road closures and that. So, what are you looking at me like that for?
Would that be the first?
Yes.
Saturday?
Yeah, July 3rd.
With Hatch?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
That's all. It's all been scheduled.
Okay.
Normally we try to keep them off the leather, people. But we put... What?
No.
I'm waiting for him to notice the fact I didn't have any notes on that one. So there. The official Pride Fashion Show on Friday, June 25th, over at the Guava Lamp, 8:30 to 11:30. This is the Pride Houston Fashion Show and VIP After Party. Jägermeister and Guava Lamp goes New York for Houston. Spotlight is on Houston as Guava Lamp pulls out all the stops for a swanky and suave opening weekend event. Special K from 104 will provide the sounds that rock the runway. Toddalicious.
Yeah, Toddalicious. He's the MC over there.
No, it's Toddicus.
Oh, Toddicus.
Toddicus.
Okay.
Somebody's been watching Starz programming and thinks he's on the Spartan show. It's because they run around half naked and do naughty things. So
okay.
For more information, I guess go over to pridehouston.org.
That would work.
There. It is hurricane season, and although most hurricanes that impact the Gulf Coast occur later in the year, it's never too early to prepare in the event of a hurricane or other disaster, like oil slicks. Because Montrose Counseling Center has been a hub for members of the GLBT communities through Katrina, Rita, and recently Ike, they've put together a disaster preparedness guide. It provides basic information about putting together a plan should you need to evacuate, or I don't like shelter in place if you want to hunker down.
I don't like evacuate.
Well, sometimes you need to evacuate. Sometimes you just have to let it go, Jimmy.
I see.
You can pick up these pamphlets over at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Bernard, on the second floor. Or you can probably, you know, it doesn't say on here, but I would guess if they're good about it, they'll probably have it up on their website, MontroseCounselingCenter.org.
Probably.
If not, subtle hint.
Yeah.
June 27th marks the 15th year for the National HIV Testing Day. Begun in 1995 by the National Association of People with AIDS, organizations from around the country, including the Montrose Counseling Center, will be offering free HIV testing to promote early diagnosis. In observance of that, the Montrose Counseling Center will offer the free testing on Monday, June 28th.
Free. Did you hear that? Free testing. Free, free, free.
Walk-ins are welcome to come between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. to the first floor of the GLBT Cultural Center at 401 Bernard to get tested. They'll be using the OraQuick Advanced Rapid HIV 1/2 antibody test. Expect to take a swab of the inside of your cheek, and before you take the test, and you'll wait for the results, they'll talk to you about your behavior, reducing your risk for infection. They'll tell you the results in about 20 minutes.
If you're there to be tested, I think it's a little late. Anyway.
No, they give you that lecture. You know, they ask you all the questions. How many partners have you had? Have you always played safe? Then they get that school marm look on your face.
Yeah,
you know you shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. Here's some condoms.
Yeah.
And then, you don't get the speech. I do.
Well, duh.
No, they still ask him how many people he's been, but that's just for a chuckle.
Oh, thousands. Tonight we have with us the Emperor of Orisas, who looks so naked.
I was wondering who the hell he was when I first saw him.
At least from the neck up.
I know I got a hole in my pants and everything's falling out, but that's not the naked part you're talking
about. No. There's no hair on his face, and I bet I know why.
He's more clean shaven than the Empress.
Probably, yeah. Because she had to pay. She had to actually stick the beard on.
Yeah.
Tonight was our turnabout.
Yes.
So
were you lovely?
I was lovely. Tasha U Cookies came out first, and then...
Tasha U Cookies,
yeah. And then I actually went back and took off all the makeup and reapplied, and it came out as Antipasta.
You're kidding me!
I'm not kidding. Oh, you haven't seen Antipasta in 5 years, have you?
No!
Brought the house down, too,
I think. I'll bet.
Especially since I did...
That's a job.
Dance 10 Looks 3.
Yeah.
The whole tits and ass.
Yeah.
So...
Antipasta did that? No.
Antipasta did that. Yep. If anybody's ever seen Antipasta, I portray a 80-year-old woman, blue hair, old lady dress, and come out, and my butt actually flies up in the air, and my boobs are actually pendulous.
Oh, yes.
You know, they actually go every which way. So to do a song where you're screaming out tits and ass all through it, it brings a crowd... Gets the crowd going pretty good.
I'll bet it did. I'll bet it did.
But yeah, I'm all smooth.
it actually took me a couple of times to sit there and go, who's that hell?
And I know.
Everybody's been doing that.
Because when they do it upright, I mean, they really slather the makeup on. You don't, you know.
No, I mean, when he walked in here like this.
It's oh.
Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Nobody recognized me.
I looked over at him. I was like, do I know you? You look familiar, but do I know you?
Hair is not that much of your personality.
Actually, I think it is.
No, it just has that little of personality.
Oh! Ouch. Remember, you're talking to an emperor.
Yeah, peasant.
I ain't part of that group. I ain't part of any group like that.
You're still a peasant.
I'm a
nun. I got a peasant for you.
Yeah, we saw it.
Peasant or pheasant?
Yeah.
Either.
No, it's a peasant.
Mm. Okay.
A very small peasant.
So
peasant? Oh.
What is Arisa's up to?
Arisa's up to a lot.
I see that. You've got a whole list of goodies.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been doing
is
this.
That's supposed to be you.
Yeah, and that's Sherry.
What?
He's looking at the poster of the redneck and the little skinny girl, and I'm going, yeah, that's us.
Uh-huh. Boy, when you take poetic license, you take poetic license.
No, that's definitely not us.
Okay.
But, you know, we've been having a fantastic year. Our rain.
You have. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun.
I know, you know, I've got a lot on my plate, so I haven't been able to attend as many of the events as I would like, but... Boy, the ones I have, I've had a great time.
They have been coming up with some very unique shows.
Yeah.
This year, they've been taking great liberties at, you know, smacking Sherry and I around a little bit. You know, they like to massacre the monarchs all the time.
Well.
Which I think is great, you know.
If you didn't make it such an easy target.
Talk about target, dude. Come on.
Well, we already knew he was easy.
Mm.
Who, me?
No, Chris.
Me? Yeah, Chris is easy.
Yeah.
But I would say...
No, but it's a whole different feel to the monarchy this year.
Well...
It's a lot more playful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I've been noticing
Not that past ones have been stayed, but...
Past ones have been fun, too, but for some reason, I think a lot of it has to do with Sherry and I not taking ourselves so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
We really do want the line to get out there and have fun and make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
We've already done it. We want it's their turn. And basically, we've kind of... taken a different attitude this year. It's always been a big push in some years past, and our year this year we're just saying come out when you can and do what you can and don't kill yourself, don't burn yourself out.
That's right.
That's a big issue.
Like, that's a huge issue with court systems.
Well, I mean, we're doing three, four shows a week every week.
Yeah, and you know, you just can't do it.
You can't. No, I mean, even. Her and I are sometimes going, okay, I can't make it to the show tonight.
Yeah,
you cover for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes even the monarchs need a break to recoup. But
you've got a really nice membership now.
Oh, we got a great membership.
Yeah. So
we had so many people come out of the woodwork.
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. And you really had your pick of people to put in your line.
Yeah.
So you've got some real talent there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You really do.
On both sides. Mm-hmm. On both of our
That's
lines.
That's right.
We've got some wonderful people. They are just kicking it this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually
when you have that many, not like you said, you don't have to do it every all the time.
Right.
And so it's more relaxed, and you can put more of yourself into it.
Well, the funny part is because we say you don't have to do it all the time, they're all coming out.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And I guess that makes for a more relaxed atmosphere.
I mean, we weren't meant to do it like a reverse psychology thing, of course, but we were serious, you know. Don't kill yourselves. Don't burn yourselves out. You know. People get this momentum when the rain first starts, because our rain actually starts, you know, we step up in January. By the time we induct everybody in February and they start booking the shows, really it's like end of March, beginning of April is when we really start getting the momentum going. And, of course, when you get to this point now, it's when people are getting kind of burned out a little bit, and we tell them, you know,
yeah,
don't
kill yourself. We want you here next year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, we want
just
them here next year.
Yeah.
We want them here definitely next year. We want them also to have fun with what they're doing.
Sure.
And we don't want this to become a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have jobs. But I don't want this to become like a second job to people.
That's right.
If it's not fun, then it's no reason
That's
to
right.
do it.
That's right.
So everybody's been having a lot of fun this year. So if you would like to join.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, let's do a membership push right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean,
now the thing of it is, this is a court system, and you make the money for your charity, which is
this year our RAIN charity is Montrose Counseling Center and Assisters,
and two great organizations,
wonderful. And 10% of all of our proceeds goes to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund.
Right.
So
and that's great. And so the whole idea is making money, but and having fun doing it.
Yes.
He says, you know, with a pregnant pause.
Well, no, there's really a little bit of pause in there because, you know, a part of our mission statement is also education.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of our performers this year are, not say performers, a lot of our show producers, when they create their shows, they've been asking the Montrose Counseling Center to come in and set up a booth. And have their information there.
Sure.
They did it Friday night. Montrose Counseling Center was there.
I guess what
spit
I was,
it out.
I'm going to get there. Okay.
He doesn't usually spit.
I know.
I do not spit it out.
Jimmy Carper spit?
No.
Forbid.
The thing of it is, in your organization, it's not just a matter of only people who want to perform and get on stage are members, because there's a whole lot of other jobs to do where you're not on stage.
Yeah. I mean, we have places where you can volunteer and help out.
Yes.
If you just want to be a member, of course, and just come out when you can, we wholeheartedly encourage that.
But there's all kinds of backstage stuff.
Yes.
We have people detail stuff, you know, setting up equipment, or going out to a warehouse and picking stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Right. We have a lot of people who actually never perform. We have people who's basically there for support. And keep in mind, we don't do, you know, huge production shows where we have to pull this stuff out of the storage room all the time. But a lot of our workers actually tend to focus more on the coronation, where we start dividing up all the responsibilities. That's when it gets fun. And we do encourage people to join. And, you know, some people are very good at immersing themselves into the organization. It's rather complex at times, and we don't want to overpower people with what we do. So we really do encourage people to just join, do what you can,
and see
learn.
See where you'd like to.
See how you fit in. You know, it's a family. That's probably the biggest thing is, you know, we're such a family. And, of course, you know, with any family, any organization, any job, you're going to have some strife sometimes. And
Oh, you think. Drama!
Would you believe we have had very little this year?
Really good.
Very little.
Good.
We've just have had a wonderful year, and everybody's playing well together. And like I said, there's, you know, always, you know, people who don't always get along.
We're
looking at the common good. We're looking at what the organization is doing.
Exactly.
And it's about that commitment to the organization is what is really fantastic, and what we're getting a lot from our members. And believe it or not, the members are also, you know, whenever you do have those issues, Sherry and I are very good about just saying, go talk to them about it. You know, settle your differences. Don't run to the Monarchs every time. So this year's been very easy for us because we're like two parents. We say, you know, go beat your brother up. Go beat your sister up. Go beat your brother up. Then buy him a drink and go have
that's
fun.
Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. But
come Saturday night, they got to drag off.
You know, I told them for tonight, I said, for next year, we ought to have a Mr. and Miss Turnabout.
Yes, you should.
Kind of turn into a little bit of a contest so people really get into it. We had some fantastic numbers again tonight.
Really?
Well, it's the one time the whole year that the guys get to dress up.
That's right.
So we had a great time, had a lot of fun, some great numbers. And even the girls who were playing boys tonight, they came out and they brought it, and it was a good show.
Good.
Okay, so who would have been your choices?
For
Mr. and Miss Turnabout this year?
I have to say that I didn't get to see very much of it because I had to redo my makeup. So
okay, well, who would be the biggest surprise that we would have saying that they did drag on the men?
On the men, the biggest surprise. I want to say Eddie Taylor.
Oh, my God. Eddie Taylor did drag?
Yeah. I want to say Eddie Taylor. I did get, like I said, I'm just basing it on shock value, because like you said, oh, my God, Eddie Taylor.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would ever expect Eddie to do it.
No. I mean, Eddie's been in the community a long time. He's been Mr. Everything.
Exactly. So this,
but never in a dress.
Exactly. I think that's it, you know.
Wow.
People never would have expected it, so that's the shock value right there. And on the female side, I think I'll use his drag name because I don't know if I can say his real name on the...
okay.
It's Isabella Rose Mink. And she always comes out with this great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know tonight he performed under the name of Jason, and from what I hear, I was backstage, but from what I hear from the crowd, he was just bringing down the house.
Good.
Too. And, of course, Alicia Dos Amantes also did a great job tonight.
Oh, I can't even imagine Alicia in boy drag.
Oh, he still flamboyant. But, you know, he put on the mustache and big afro and went out there. And like I said, I wish I could have seen it, but I was like the third person to perform, third or fourth, and right to the back and started changing my face again. So I didn't get to see hardly any of the show.
Oh, man.
But it is videotaped, so if you ever...
Oh, no kidding.
If you go on our bus tour to the casino trip...
You're going to play it?
Oh, I won't play it. I don't want to play it, but they will. From my understanding, it's been recorded, the whole thing, so...
Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah, it's always good to have blackmail material on the Emperor. So they don't go after Sherry at all. I noticed this whole year. It's like, they don't go after Sherry, but Falcon is fair play.
Oh, yeah. He's a target.
So what kind of events are you doing in the near future?
A lot.
I know. There's a whole list that you handed out.
A whole list.
The HCC meeting.
We got tired of us all yelling their motion to adjourn. Speaking.
You notice I put myself in the middle this time, so I couldn't be last.
And you know, for people like who do radio, a list like this is just beautiful.
Right.
Yeah.
I've done this at a few HEC meetings because I do know we do a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that, you know, standing there and saying, 10 shows here, people will get bored really quick.
It's hard to keep. Hard to remember.
It's at the end of the meeting, and we all...
Yeah, everybody wants to go.
That
was a hot room this time, so...
We usually like
just
to...
Just sat next to the air conditioner.
I know. You guys were in front of the air conditioner.
We usually like to promote in about the next 2 weeks of what you're doing.
Well, that's basically what we're going to do here.
Mm-hmm.
What's 2 weeks? Okay, Pride is next weekend, and 4th of July is the following weekend, so we only have two things. But we are going to talk about this thing here coming up in July. But June 20th, which is tomorrow, say it, Sunday.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
At 7 p.m. at the BRB, we have the Who's Your Daddy show.
Oh, yeah.
Which is hosted by the King Fathers, which is Larry Spriggs is my King Father, and Bob Balton is Sherry Ann's King Father. It's a great show. It's a Father's Day show. And basically, It's one of the few times that we do get to get Bob Balton up on the microphone.
Haven't you been doing... This is an annual thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We do a Mother's Day and a Father's Day show every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then on July 4th, we have the 50-50 show, which is at Tony's Corner Pocket at 4 p.m. It starts around 4 p.m. What they're doing is... Tony and Arisa's is doing a 50-50 show. Tony picks his beneficiary, which I think is PWA.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the other 50% goes to Arisa's beneficiaries.
Right.
But what they do is, I believe it's around between 2 and 4. The Houston area Bears will be there. They'll be making, and maybe even later, but they'll be making hot dogs and hamburgers.
Oh,
and you can
nice.
Buy. Then we go to do a show, I think around 7-ish. And then once the show's done
and the fireworks start, and you're right
outside.
There.
We're
you're right
there.
There at Tony's Corner Pocket, and you're already parked and ready to go. And
yep.
Man, that's a deal.
It's a great deal. And, we've been doing it every year, and it's always a fun show.
I believe I went last year, and it really was nice. I think we ended up in the front of Tony's watching the fireworks.
Oh, okay.
Everybody.
He needs to put a rooftop deck on.
Yeah, where were you going to see them from? And finally, the best view was right at the front door.
Well, go talk to my husband. He might be able to get you in to the fairgrounds.
Oh.
Yeah, good thing you specified where you're getting him in at.
Yeah, if you can get it in, I'm more the power to you.
Whoa.
Oh, we're not going to go there again, are we?
Again? How'd you get there first time?
Oh, trust
me. I do
want to talk about one other show here. Well, two other shows.
Sure.
On July 9th, because this is a unique one, Blair Fullerton's doing a show over at JR's called Bear With Me for a Moment. And it's for the Yoseda Foundation.
Oh, okay.
And so what he's... And I kind of want to get this out there, because if people have teddy bears, new teddy bears, hopefully, but if you got teddy bears, you want to get rid of them, take them over to the show. We're trying to fill the stage up with teddy bears, and, you know, go donate them to the Yoseda Foundation, which in turn donates them to children.
Right.
So it's a wonderful show. It's a wonderful concept. It's not going to be a very long show. I think we have to be off the stage by 9:30 or so, but it's a great idea. That once again, it's July 9th at 7:30 p.m. at JR's. And it's called Bear With Me for a Moment.
That's unusual, because we don't usually get a lot of shows in the complex.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's also about how you approach them.
Yeah.
And how you go market it and how you go sell it. You know, Charles Armstrong, you know, he does his own beneficiaries.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense. But
you know.
I think he's got a soft spot for the Yoseda Foundation.
Yes, I think it's one of his beneficiaries this year.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I did one of my campaign shows there. My campaign headquarters was at
JR's. That's right.
And you know, I had a great time there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just about going in, approaching them, and. You know, especially if you work in partnership with them.
Sure.
You know, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's about spreading your wings and getting down that community and trying things with different people.
Okay.
So I think it's very important, you know, that we do a show at JR's.
You bet it is.
And finally, the big show that we got to talk
big
about.
Shoe,
the
really big shoe.
Really big shoe. On July 31st at the New Barn, which is the space located behind Chances.
Yeah.
We have our annual Fire and Ice Ball. Now, normally a Fire and Ice Ball is a formal event. It's kind of like a coronation where you either have to wear formal or be in theme.
Yeah.
And Sherry and I thought about this, and we're like, we don't want to wear formal. So we decided to go with a show called Lifestyles of the Not-So-Rich and Famous. And it is basically a hee-haw, redneck, hillbilly show.
And
whatever you want to wear, you can wear it, baby. So,
Except your teeth.
We don't want those. Nope. Unless you're going to eat the corn, you don't need your teeth. So, and what's unique about this show is if for most people who come out to our shows, you see us mostly performing solo.
Mm-hmm.
We get out there, we do a song, and we get off the stage and bring up the next performer. What's different about this show is that it's an all-production show.
Wow.
So it's not that often because it is very hard because we are doing three shows every single week sometimes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
hard for us to put on production shows.
Sure.
So this is the rarity where we're going to do an all-production show. It's going to be theater style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be emceed in between.
Oh.
So basically, number comes off, number comes on.
Wow.
You know, go have a little program mm-hmm. made up that tells you who's coming up next. But it's going to be done very much theater style. Not a lot of chatter in between. You know,
you're going to have a cover charge for this, aren't you?
There is. Yep. It's $15 if you buy in advance and $20 at the door. It includes a hot dog and barbecue bar with all the fixings, potato salad and beans and all that fun stuff. And it gets you in. And we also have tables for sale. I think we have six tables that are right on the dance floor, right off the staging area. And each one of those tables is $100 each. Mm-hmm. It seats four people. And what we do is we actually have a personal wait person taking care of you. So you never have to leave your table.
How nice.
Yeah. It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
They can get tickets by emailing me.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is Falcon, FALCON_ERICSS at yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Falcon_ERICSS at yahoo.com. What else is there? So it's 8 p.m. Saturday, July 31st at the New Barn, which is 1100 Westheimer. And that's about it. Oh, and this is a direct benefit for Legacy Community Health Services.
Good.
And
Cashada. Because you mentioned it briefly in your
thing. Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, yeah.
That's the other
push
big thing.
That one, yeah.
On August 7th, we have the trip to Cashada. We will be leaving at 9 p.m. Oh, I'm sorry, 9 a.m. We will be leaving
9 a.m.?
9? Well, you got to go to the casino.
Oh, okay. A.M.
Yeah, 9 a.m.
Okay.
It's on a Saturday. We leave on August 7th, leave at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the bus will be picking up at the Wells Fargo over there at West Gray and Wall.
Okay, that's convenient.
Very convenient. And we basically drive out to Cashada. It's about a three-hour trip. We disembark at around 1. We do our 7-cent tangs at the bar all night. You know what a tang is, right?
I have no idea.
You don't know what a tang is? Basically vodka and Red Bull.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Big thing at the BRB. Oh. Reese's and Tang go hand in hand.
Okay.
But basically, I think it's 7 cents or 2 cents. I forget what it was. But you sit at the bar, you feed the slot machines, and you do shots of 2 cent tangs. And tangs, it's a regular beer mug size.
Yeah.
So, and they put a shooter shot in there.
Oh, I see.
So, but it's a lot of fun. We go out there. We have entertainment on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Normally on the way out, it's nice and quiet, and we go out there and we watch a movie. Asleep. Yeah, probably. Or we watch a movie and we eat snacks and we get off the bus. And we go in the casino. We get filthy drunk. We lose all our money. We get poured back onto the bus, and then we do a drag show in the middle of the bus. And all that, and all of that is for $30. If you buy your ticket before July 4th, I should say, it's for $30. And anytime after July 4th to the bus trip, I guess, let's say August 6th, the day before, it's $40.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. We feed you, you know, we give you sandwiches and snacks on the bus and drinks.
Mm-hmm. You're pampered all the way.
You're pampered all the way. But coming back, it's a mess.
Because you're at the casino and there's free drinks.
Yes. The casino's pretty much free drinks. Or like very
again.
Cheap ones.
Hit me again.
Oh. Oh, they want you to feed those machines.
I'll bet they do.
I was talking about the bartender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hit me again.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. He's pretty, folks. He's pretty. Honestly, he's pretty. He's got a face for radio.
Yeah, you do.
What I plan to do to you guys would pay money for.
Ooh.
Which reminds me, as far as the other show, once again, the Lifestyles of the Not So Rich and Famous, we are taking production numbers. So if people would like to volunteer for that, they're more than happy to get a hold of me.
I mean, groups like the Gill Sisters, or the Gill Family, or the Debris Sisters, or the Big Men's Club.
The Big Men's Club. Yeah, that's them. That's them. That's who we're talking about here.
I'm not thinking with our choreographer on that one.
So, like I said, we just did Titanet. So you guys could do it, too.
Oh, boy. They got you beat.
Oh, you've seen Angie Pasta. I don't think they got me beat.
I've seen Chris, too.
But we are taking volunteers if people want to do production numbers. There's no solo numbers in this show. But if some of the dance groups, or if you want to throw a production number together,
now, you know, hold on to me. A production number is a great place for someone who's not so sure about performing, because, I mean, you're in with a group, you're all doing, you know, maybe doing the same kind of thing, and you're, it's not that you're on stage, you're in a group. So if you're a little bit timid about being on stage, a production number is a great place to start.
He speaks like that from Louis, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, not Janet here. That's the thing, it's in a way, it's kind of like the show of shows that people are familiar with, just an intentional theme that runs throughout it, not just everybody doing Glee.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm sure there'll be a Glee number in there somewhere.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is all hillbilly, redneck, and trailer trash, whatever you want to call it.
I love it.
And it's a lot of fun. And like I said, it's come on out and get entertained. I mean, I know they're going to be sick and twisted on this show, too. A lot of our shows, for some reason, have been really sick and twisted, and I love it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's so me.
And the crowd goes, duh.
I am so sorry I missed that show tonight. I missed a show.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
We had a really great time.
So listen, folks, don't be like me. Get your ass over and see some of these Arisa shows.
Sitting around on the porch in your underwear?
Well, yeah. Hey.
And they can go through.
Those were shorts. Those were not underwear.
It fell out no matter what. But
his teeth, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about his teeth. But if they want to give more information, they can go to our website, which is www.erisas.org.
Okay, you have to spell that. Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
Give me a chance here. Woman, jeez. Put his teeth back in his mouth.
Okay.
www.erisiss. And should I do it the Marsha Meek way?
No. No, because you don't have time.
Great. Marsha Meek is wonderful. But www.erisiss. ICSS.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a lot of our listings, our posters flash up on the website, so you can see our posters,
yeah,
what shows are coming up, and you can see my pretty face with a mustache.
See. Okay, we have got to go. We've got to do
PSAs.
Do some PSAs.
Yay.
And
top of the hour.
Okay. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Laverne. Oh, Wes.
He forgot my first name.
Oh, Wes.
This year, the Pacifica Foundation, the parent organization of this station, is holding elections to seat boards of directors in each of the foundation's five signal areas. These local station boards help shape the direction of this station. Your vote makes a difference. Please note the date of record that closes eligibility for voting is coming up June 30th. The date of record is the time when new members must be on the rolls for this election. If you qualify as a staff member, this supersedes the listener category of membership. Please make sure to log your volunteer hours in station-designated forms and ensure your contact information is on file. Those wishing to be eligible to vote in the upcoming election must meet the June 30th deadline. Tune into this station for more on this important board election or visit PacificaElections2010.org for details. This is KPFT Houston.
Celebrate spring with the Discovery Green Thursday Concert Series, co-sponsored by 90.1 KPFT FM.
Okay, the Discovery Green concerts have been, like, totally cool, and, like, we really hope you haven't missed it. Okay, so if you've missed the Discovery Green's concert series on Thursdays, you have, like, really, really missed out. But you've got one more chance. I mean, like, whoa. Because it's going to be, like, totally, totally way cool. Okay, like, we have Gil King Carrasco with David Beebe and the Comrades. You really don't want to miss it. You got to come down. Thursday, June 24th. It's, like, totally the last one.
Bring your picnic blankets and lawn chairs. Don't forget to leave the glass containers and alcohol at home. Don't worry. Food, wine, and beer are available at the Lake House Restaurant. Visit kpft.org for more information. You've been listening to KPFT Houston.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Coming up, the battered and the bruised, it's Judy, who can't walk on a sidewalk.
But I can lay on the couch.
Yeah, you can lay on the couch as well as you lay on the sidewalk. You know,
couches are more comfortable.
You should have brought your seeing eye pussy to help you. Your pussy wouldn't come to Montrose. There's a story in that, I know. Coming, are we going to play a little music first, Wes?
Yes.
All right, a little bit of music, then it's the GCAM show. We'll be right back.
I'm on. I'm here. Hello, John.
Hello,
this is okay. Wes usually says something, but he didn't. Thank you, Wes.
You're welcome. Sorry, I was in the middle of two things at once, and I noticed music was going down.
Well, that's okay. I'm looking at the clock, and it was only 6 minutes and something. I was waiting for eight, so.
Yeah, well.
That's okay.
It's still rolling, but I don't know what's going on over there.
Well, they're just whispering to each other at this point.
Probably.
Where's Jimmy?
Jimmy was out on the patio for a few moments. He's been in here for over an hour, and you know what that does to his little psyche.
Uh-huh.
So, John Tiska and I are here for a little GCAM history kind of stuff, and actually we did have a guest scheduled this evening who, unfortunately, at the last minute, couldn't make it, apparently. So we're going to kind of kibitz about two or three things. One of the things is a new theater that I'm kind of excited about, and I'm hoping to bring some people on from that maybe next month or something for a few minutes. But if you'll tell us a little bit about this theater, John, so we can all get excited like I am.
Sure.
As soon as you get those glasses fixed, you know.
It's the Pandora Theater presents Star Chamber at the Frenetic Theater in Houston, and I think you're really in favor of this theater because a portion of their ticket sales go to a no-kill animal rescue organization.
Yeah, they go to 501c3, so they'll be going to various 501c3s. Every time they do a show, they'll be giving a portion of their proceeds to a different charity.
Yeah, imagine that, a theater that's actually making money, it has enough to give to another.
Giving to a 501c3, that's right.
So they're going to be putting on a Noel Coward play, the Star Chamber. And the little blurb we have here is, what happens when eight self-involved actors are charged with the oversight of a decaying home for retired actresses? Mayhem.
A self-involved actor?
Mayhem ensues.
Mayhem ensues.
Yes. Will they be able to stop performing and stick to an agenda? Will the secretary of the fund be able to keep them on track? Where is the board's president, and what is that awful smell?
Oh, my God. It's getting worse with every sentence.
I'm getting visuals. The Star Chamber's Coward satirical work at the self-importance of performers and their attempts to accomplish good works with a minimum of inconvenience to themselves.
Of course.
Truer words were never spoken.
Oh,
this I don't get. God, the Star Chamber was not written with a political agenda?
Well, Noel Coward didn't have a political agenda with this. Maybe he just, you know.
Okay.
There was a reason for that, I'm sure. Since it's what, down in the, written in the 30s?
I'm glad it doesn't have a political agenda.
Amen.
It's politicized times.
Amen. That's right.
Something
it's just
without
a
political
agenda.
A fun play. Yes, and they actually do point out that Star Chamber is a delightful show written by a master. It's got everything. Dueling. Divas.
Dueling?
A has-been comedian, a beatnik, a flustered secretary, a stage manager who just may be the only sane person in the group, and a Great Dane.
And a Great Dane?
A Great Dane.
As Regina Dane or a dog?
I think they mean a dog.
Oh, drag queen, not dog, not drag queen.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
Now, that would be cool.
I don't know. I'm not big on dogs, especially if I'm, you know.
No, the drag queen.
Oh, the drag queen. Now, that I'm not sure Noel Coward. Well, he was gay.
He was.
He may have known drag queens.
Oh, he was married and he was gay.
Clearly, he knew cross-dressers, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
At only 50 minutes, it's the perfect diversion for an early.
50, I can't wait to see this.
Count them.
Wow.
50.
Yeah.
A perfect diversion for an early summer evening. So that is at the Pandora Theater, and you said they're 2 years old?
They're about 2 years old. It's their second season.
They're on Navigation. That's out east, isn't it?
Yeah, that's east of downtown.
Okay.
Wow. Just east
of
downtown.
I'm so glad Jimmy's in here, because I don't know my east from my west,
isn't it?
It's like where the original Nymphos
is. We can have dinner first.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, go to Nymphos, have dinner.
Dinner and a show.
The original Nymphos is the best.
That's right.
Frenetic Core Theater, 5102 Navigation, Houston, Texas. And their website is www.pandoratheater.com. Or call.
Is that theater or theatra?
That's theatra.
Theatra,
A lot of people are doing that now.
Yes.
Or call.
713-304-4656. Again, that number is 713-304-4656, pandoratheater.com.
And again, they are giving a portion of their proceeds to a 501c3.
That's nice.
Which is a nice
That's
thing.
Very nice.
Jan Searson wants to come on and talk about theater at some point in time. And,
well, I hope
and
she does
because
sometime.
They're going to be doing, you know, this generous thing and so on. I think that'd be a real good idea. She's one of the founders of this theater.
Oh, I did not know that.
And she's, they were going to try to make it.
She's the one with the voice, right?
No, that's Heather.
Oh.
Jan is the natural comedic. Well, they both have curly hair.
Oh.
Jan is the one with the natural comedic timing.
Okay.
She is so hilariously funny. She really is. But this was opening weekend for that play, and mm-hmm. she is absolutely exhausted.
Oh.
But she will definitely come on. You know, we're going to make plans to do this another evening.
Okay.
Jimmy
so
is
that's
a,
not going to work.
Jimmy is a big supporter of the arts. This is the third theater group that he supports.
Oh, that's there's right. more than that.
Craig. Craig, hello.
Chris.
What's his face out there? The one that's not a couch potato?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that's laying down
on
the table.
The one that's laying down asleep
here?
On the table?
Yeah, that one.
He brings in one of the theaters as well. So
yeah.
I think we need to bring in more theaters because they're doing more and more shows for charities.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't give all your proceeds to them, if you give part of them, I mean, that's a big thing.
Yeah, that's, it is.
So
it,
and
it is.
And people like to hear about theaters. I like, mm-hmm. you know, I love drag shows, and I love drag queens. I don't know a drag queen that I really don't like. But I like to do things other than that once
yeah.
in a while and support other kinds of arts.
And so many of these theaters are 501c3s. So
exactly, yeah.
You know,
almost all community theaters are.
We support them.
That's right.
How many have you had in? You've done Theater Suburbia.
Yeah, like four.
Uh-huh.
Does Theater Southwest show up?
No.
Not
that one. the Lambert Hall. The Lambert Hall.
Unhinged came in.
Unhinged. Stage Door.
Yeah, Stage Door.
Then there's one from Deer Park that was here once.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I have a girl.
It's like a revolving door.
Deer Park was off-center.
Wants to come
what?
On.
The one from Deer Park was off-center.
Off-center.
Off-center, okay.
So, yeah, theater's good. And, you know, they come in, they're a lot of fun. It's like gaggling little geese in here.
Yeah.
And then they go away. You know, I mean, it's 10 or 15 minutes of just really uplifting, you know, spirited stuff to kind of get your blood moving and... You need up, honey?
No.
Okay. Can I get on my soapbox for a minute since our guest didn't show
you
up?
You may.
I'm going to talk about the Montrose for a minute.
Okay.
Yes.
But we're in trouble now.
What about the Montrose?
Well, as Chris so politely pointed out in Chris's own way whenever he's discussing Judy.
Oh, this ought to be good.
Yeah. Well, I am wounded. I am sitting here wounded tonight.
Yeah, we both are.
Yeah, I know, but... You
but you're
probably
more
had more fun doing yours.
I don't
at least you
know.
Did yours in the light.
I don't know how I did mine.
Well, see, I know exactly how I did mine.
You fell
on an uneven sidewalk on Taft.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part is, I mean, yes, I'm broken and bruised and bleeding and so on, and I banged my head big time. While I was laying there, literally on the sidewalk, waiting for John to find somebody at the radio station to help him help me up and get me back into the station, three cars passed that corner. Says Taft and Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And the first car stopped just short of the stop sign and looked out at me for a few seconds and then went on.
Figured you passed out?
Maybe then? I was kind of sitting up at that point. I mean, I wasn't, you know, maybe they figured I was drunk. I don't know. The second car
uh-huh.
just did kind of a rolling stop and stared back at me through their, you know, side window and went on. And the third car actually stopped kind of beside me. I mean, these were kind of in succession. I mean, mm-hmm. I wasn't out there forever. And the third one stopped, and he actually rolled down his window. And then he rolled it back up, and he went on.
You're
and
kidding. He didn't say anything.
Oh, my God, I could die out here before somebody helps me up.
Oh, God.
You know, what is it about the community that we don't help each other? I mean, it's not like I was sitting there with a gun or a baseball bat to attack them when they got out of their car to help me. And this is twice this has happened to me.
Hmm.
The first time was several years ago. You know this.
Yes.
At a pride parade.
Mm-hmm.
It was a daytime pride parade.
Yeah.
So that's how long ago it was. And I got overheated, and I had a seizure.
Uh-huh.
And they pulled me up on a float. And when the parade was over, they got a lawn chair off the float and sat me on the sidewalk while they took the float where it needed to be. And they were kind of like very definitely where they could see me, just a few yards away. Well, they kept getting moved down by the security. So they were, like, down the street and around the corner, and I'm laying there lolled out in a chair, and I don't know how many people in this world have seizures that are listening tonight, but when it happens to me after the seizure, I'm kind of like brain dead.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear. If I could open my eyes, I could probably see. If my eyes are open, they don't blink, you know, that kind of thing. And I had three people from the parade or from that area come walking up, young people, and they're staring at me, and they're talking about me. And one of them finally got right down in my face where I could literally smell his breath. And he says, well, is she dead? You know? And the other one says, well, no, man, we better need to get out of here. It's like, what is it that we don't help each other? I mean, If somebody was standing over me with a baseball bat, would one of those three drivers have stopped tonight?
Is it because it's the Montrose and people expect that people, that the citizens are going to be drunk and passed out?
Automatically, I'm drunk or on drugs because I'm sitting on the sidewalk.
In the Montrose.
Bleeding.
Yes.
You know, it was just rather disheartening. I mean, I had more faith in my community than that.
However, on the other side of the coin,
we're going to get another coin.
At this, and in the same era as this, because it was a daytime parade, I was walking in the parade during the day, and it was very, very hot, and I was beyond.
I know that feeling.
And evidently, I wasn't walking steadily. And before I knew it, it was like two or three blocks before the end of the parade, two lesbians grabbed me, pulled me out of the parade, and started putting ice on my wrists and head and temples and everything, and saved me.
Yeah. Well, you got lucky with girls. I guess these were all three male drivers. Oops, did I go there? I mean, they were, but, you know. But it's just weird.
I don't understand.
There's no solution. There's no answer. I just wanted to get on my soapbox for a minute and just.
I think there's more of that happening than before.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to get out of your car. You don't have to make yourself unsafe. You don't have to really.
All you have to do is roll down the window and say, "Are you okay?
Yeah.
Do you need help?
If I hadn't been able to answer, you know, then maybe they might have. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah.
Call 911. Call the police. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't know John was going to the station to get somebody to help me. You know, it was just, it was really disheartening.
Hmm.
So, I'm kind of down on my community tonight.
Well.
I have to say, John left, I don't know how long he was gone, it wasn't long at all, believe me. John left, and he came back, and there were like four after-hours volunteers with him. I mean, like, they just kept coming and coming and coming. Like, we were almost at the station, and people were still coming out the door to, you know.
I know.
So,
even including his, what did you say?
Fat ass.
Okay, I wasn't going to call him that.
Exactly.
Chris actually helped me. Chris, let me lean on him. At the same time,
I was bleeding.
At the same time, yeah, you're over here cutting yourself up.
But all I could hear is, Judy fell down, and everybody's running out the front door.
Well, you know, help the old lady. You know, can't let the old lady get mad at you. You know?
And who was it that went out for medicine for you?
Oh.
I don't, at this point, I'm, hello.
Well, see, Jimmy cut himself because he figured you hurt. You know, we heard you possibly broke your hip, and he thought you were coming back to his couch.
Well, you know, I'm not real sure yet that I didn't break a hip.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not real sure I didn't break a leg.
Mm.
But yes, I all the volunteers came rushing out to help.
Wow! There you go.
Wow.
And I wish I could remember all their names, but I'm brain dead tonight.
I forgot to put my watch on tonight.
I'm sorry, do you want to borrow mine?
No, that's okay.
In spite of the fact that it's still running.
Oh, my God. We've got to tell Dan Wexler.
We've had this watch repaired 7 times in the last 5 weeks, and it's actually still running since Thursday?
Yeah.
Friday.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Friday when we picked it up, yeah.
So, in spite of the fact that I banged it on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's where we are.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you're having kind of a one of those nights when you have a couple of guests and neither show up. For their own reasons. I mean, it's not
because
they didn't
want to. Well, I know one reason, and it was a good reason. But the other one, I don't know, and that kind of upsets me because I don't know if something has happened.
It was going to be a good show, too.
Religion
and homosexuality.
Yeah.
And actually,
there's a topic for you.
Yeah.
There's a topic for you. John is just dying to talk about religion and homosexuality.
No, not necessarily.
And I told him he didn't want to get me on that topic.
No.
That's a rough topic for
us. We try to avoid that.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own interpretation of the Bible, and some use it against us, and some don't. And either way, or especially the ones that use it against us, we're talking about matters of faith. We're not talking about logic. And so there is no argument. And no one is going to convince.
But there's lots
the other
of
side.
Emotion.
Yeah.
Well, the
and,
thing
and that's why I try to avoid it. I like to talk about religious groups, especially those that are gay affirming.
Well, and that's why I was excited about having this individual on tonight, because She's in charge of a transgender program.
Yes.
At a church, and they have, you know, their own little group. And
do you want to mention the name of it?
I would if I could put my glasses on.
Okay,
my face hurts.
It.
Okay.
It's Transgenders of Faith Community Gospel Church.
Yes. And Sharon, what's her name? Sharon?
Celia Wilson.
Celia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
She apparently heads the group. It just started in February.
Oh.
And it's like growing by leaps and bounds, and they're doing all kinds of wonderful things. And it's basically for transgenders who want to pursue some kind of spirituality or faith or whatever at a church.
In a Christian setting.
And this gives them the opportunity to do so and do so safely. And well, I do plan to talk to her and see if I can get her on again some other time. I don't know what happened tonight.
It was amazing to me many years ago when I discovered that almost every popular religion has a gay counterpart. And I finally realized that gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people have probably grew up with faith.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, because they were GLBT, they may have been disappointed in that faith. But they grew up with faith, and they want it in their lives.
It's a big thing for some people.
Yes.
Very big thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And being excommunicated from a church does not stop you from believing in heaven.
No. So. And it's also kind of ironic that in the Pride Parade, whatever we may feel about the Pride Parade, there are always more religious organizations represented than bars.
That's true.
Yep.
That's true.
Like what? Like who?
You name it.
Well, you know, back in the olden days, I'm very old. Back in the olden days, we all grew up with what was then MCCR.
Uh-huh.
Which is now RMCC.
Okay. Yeah.
But
MCCR
it was like
is
Metropolitan
Community Church
of the Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Now it's RMCC.
Yeah,
they've reversed some of the words, Metropolitan Community Church.
Yeah.
But that was the only real building you could walk into to do any kind of service on Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever. Dignity was around.
Dignity's a gay Catholic.
Dignity was gay Catholic, but they were not in a church. They met in an office building, but they still did their thing. But those were basically the two major things back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, there have cropped up what?
You name
it. I don't have any idea how many churches on every corner in the Montrose and surrounding areas who cater to GLBT.
Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, all of them.
Mm-hmm. And
gay Jews.
Yeah.
There's a huge gay Jewish organization.
So it's coming into vogue, so to speak.
Yes.
And people are flocking to it like you wouldn't believe. But I've never specifically heard of anything that was geared towards transgender people.
No, you're right.
And so that's why this is very important. It's kind of a one-of-a-kind, groundbreaking kind of thing. And this Cecilia and her partner, I think her partner's name is June. I'm not sure. I've never really met them face-to-face.
She says it.
They have a great website, which is very informational.
Communitygospel.org.
Yeah.
Communitygospel.org.
Let's call it Transgenders of Faith, TGOF. So if you go to the website, go to the TGOF.org section. No, go to their website, which is
Communitygospel.org.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And go to the
It's part of the Community Gospel Church.
Yes.
Okay.
And go to the TGOF little icon and go and see all about it.
Okay.
And her picture's there and all kinds of wonderful things that they're doing.
Can I read what she said here?
You can read it if you got glasses.
My reading voice. Since arriving here at Community Gospel, Celia and June have jumped in with both feet. Their warm and caring personalities have caused the congregation to love and respect them. Please keep this outreach of the church in prayer as we endeavor to reach yet another segment of our community with the love and encouragement that Jesus would give. We thank God for the willingness of Sister Celia and Sister June to dedicate themselves to this ministry. And it's focused on the transgenders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because usually a church other than RMCC that has an affirming group for GLBT people are focused on the G and the L's.
Very much.
But this is, I think, the first that is specifically
And even RMCC.
T's.
I mean, I went to RMCC for many, many years. I'm
No.
Say? But they aren't geared towards transgenders, even though they are one of the oldest ones in the community.
Well,
and so on. They have some programs now.
Yeah, they do.
But they don't have a specific that I'm aware of. Now, things may have changed since I checked up on
them. Oh, I don't know if they have anything specific for transgenders.
I don't think they do. But this is very specifically geared towards them. Mm-hmm. And there are people, just like there are GLs and Bs, who are not comfortable with other kinds of people, so to speak. I hate to say that. That's a horrible phrase. But other people who may or may not understand their situation in life, just like gays and lesbians in churches and even some schools, et cetera, they're not comfortable. This is geared towards their comfort so that they can do what they want.
John.
Jimmy. Oh, I'm so glad you said John. John, Judy, Jimmy, we can do this.
You are a Quaker.
Yes.
Are you not?
Yes,
well,
you are.
We grew up Catholic.
I'm sorry.
We grew up Catholic, my wife and I.
Yeah. I'm a recovering Catholic.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm recovering Greek Orthodox. Get over it.
And I was living out in Boston back in the 80s during the first Iraq War. Mm-hmm. And there were three Quakers outside the state capitol there protesting the war.
Wow.
As I walked past there, and I was like, that takes a lot of guts. This is the first time I'd seen political activism, kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I always had it in the back of my mind that these are decent people. They're doing a decent thing. And there turns out to be a Quaker church here in the Heights that is gay LBT friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd just gotten a new meeting house. It happens to be close to where we live. So they have a Friday night viewing where the roof on the building slides back, a portion of it, a little window, and you can watch the sunset through the window.
Oh, my goodness.
Skylight.
How interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It was designed by a Quaker from Arizona who does a lot of stuff with light. It's the same guy that designed the tunnel that goes between the old Museum of Fine Arts building to the new one.
Really?
The same artist designed this building, and it has a retractable skylight, and they open it up at night, and people come in and line the floor and watch the sunset.
Wow.
It hasn't been working for a while. They're doing some reconstruction on it, water damage to the roof.
Oh.
I did it a lot.
They'll be restoring that. Anyways, my wife and I went there, and the idea of the Quakers is we all don't necessarily know what the answer is, but maybe one or two of us might have a good idea. So their manner of worship is they all sit in a room for an hour and they're quiet.
I could never do that.
Until somebody is inspired
to say something, and then we can all listen, and maybe it's a good answer. And so it's kind of a meditative practice. It's a very Zen thing. It was started maybe 300-400 years ago by an Englishman who was a nonviolent person. And so one of the ideas is they believe in nonviolence very strongly. They believe in equality, which is really important. And since we have kids, we kind of were looking for a place that would be good for kids.
Mm-hmm. Kind of things, yeah.
And when I grew up, you may have had the same experience. I never wanted to go to church.
Of course not.
You're right.
And my kids love it. I mean, we just go and they socialize. They sit in there for 20 minutes in silence, and then they get to go out early. And
John would have enjoyed Jill. I can't believe he didn't come.
See, one of my favorite gay men in the world is John Borgo, who's...
Mine too. He's a beautiful young man.
Now in the Northeast. But he was the first gay Quaker I had ever met, and he was telling me about the religion, and it sounded... logical.
Logical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so many religions are not logical.
And it's kind of like one of those things you don't have to defend. Like, they don't believe in a dogma, so you don't
what's to argue?
Yeah, you don't get anybody that's going to say, well, God believes this, and so you should too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of respect, and I really like it because there is a sizable percentage of the folks are GLBT that attend there. And I can say to my kids, so-and-so is gay. And at school, people are going to say, so-and-so is gay or a fag or whatever. Mm-hmm. But always remember that these people that that you go to church with are gay or lesbian. And do they seem strange to you? No. Are they different in some way? No. So, you know, these words that kids use are as a put down are really kind of nasty.
And then most of them learned them at home with their parents.
Yeah, you got to remember that you do know people who are gay, really gay, or, you know, lesbian, mm-hmm. and it's not that big of a deal.
They certainly seem to like me. Yeah. Well, maybe. It looks like it anyway. Maybe they're no.
Oh, and they say hello, too.
Oh, good. Tell them hello.
That was the last thing my wife said before I left the house, was make sure you tell Judy we're thinking about her.
Hi, guys. You can listen to us online. They don't have to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning to hear us. They can listen to us later. But.
Yep.
So, yeah, I wanted to bring that in. And something else I wanted to ask you, because you're so... John, you strike me so much as an alpha personality.
Oh, no.
You do. No. You do.
You strike him that
so
way.
I was wondering... That's right. How do you take to being the second in command in this segment?
Whoa!
I'm not second.
Didn't
in
know
command.
I was.
I'm like the producer.
Oh, wait a minute.
Who brought the gun tonight?
No.
Well, I'm the one that picks you up. I'm
are
the one
you
that
trying to start a fight?
No,
or did
no,
you
no,
want
no.
to invite Chris in?
No. I mean, you know, you brought John in, especially for the straight viewpoint of history, and it's very important when we talk about that history, because as gay people, we may live a gay lifestyle and may give it a gay bias because we live.
I knew
as
that.
Gay people.
I intend to do
and
that.
And so I think it's important to have the straight...
So he's not second fiddle, he's just not gay, you know?
Well, there's yeah. that. But, I mean, you're the one in charge.
Well, yeah, yep. I guess.
Pretty
it's
much
a way
so.
Of life,
mm-hmm.
you know? I'm in charge of construction, I'm in charge of the segment, you know?
Well, she is.
I certainly was not in charge of the cement tonight, though.
No.
Showed me who was boss.
No.
But... Yeah, I guess I never thought of you as second fiddle, but I guess you are, so all right, I'm feeling better now. Hey, it works for me. I need a ride home. I'm going
to
be nice.
I well, didn't mean to
no, it wasn't. It was
start anything so here. But
it just
no,
sounded
it,
funny when you said it.
Oh, did it?
When we maybe first I showed up, you were telling me you used to do a GLBT segment on here.
Oh, years ago, yes,
years
when
ago,
the show first started.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like...
I was fired.
You were fired.
I was one of the few volunteers fired from KPFT's After Hours.
Yeah. And then
it wasn't by me.
Yes, it was.
It was by Buddy.
It was by you. Buddy was gone. It was you and Bruce.
What are you talking about?
You and Bruce were co-producers, and Bruce decided not to come, so you decided I wasn't either. I got fired. I was a volunteer. I got fired.
Bruce quit and took her with him.
Like I can't drive. So.
Bruce fired you?
No, Bruce didn't fire me. He wouldn't dare. I'd have killed him.
Who fired you?
Jimmy.
I did
Jimmy
not.
Fired.
Jimmy automatically wrote me out because Bruce quit.
Okay.
See, he's still alive.
Now I'm putting it to
but you know what? I'm back and nobody's getting rid of me now. I've been here longer than anybody in the house.
All right.
Sorry, I hate to say
except for that big span, you weren't here.
That's beside the point. I'm not counting that.
How long have you and Jimmy known each other?
23 years.
And he fired you?
And he fired me. Well, he hadn't known me 23 years when he fired me. He only known me a couple of years.
So how did you two meet?
It sounds
Names
right
Project.
Here.
Like a yeah,
well-named project in here.
Names Project in 1988.
Mm-hmm.
The Names Project?
Names
mm-hmm.
Project.
What
I was a volunteer coordinator, and he called and was going to be one of my 586 volunteers. We won't go into it, Jimmy. I promise I will
not. You know what the Names Project
that.
Is, Joan?
No, what is that?
Okay.
It's the AIDS quilt that
yeah.
was started by Cleve Jones
yes.
in California in 1980-something or other. It did its first national tour in 1988, and Houston was on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say it, Brian Kiever was responsible for putting together the first meeting to see if anyone was interested in bringing the quilt to Houston. And we all met in the basement at what was then MCCR over
mm-hmm.
on Decatur Street. And Brian kind of facilitated the meeting, and Cleve was there. And we all decided that, yes, we wanted to bring the quilt to Houston. Now, this was a huge endeavor. I mean, we're talking miles and miles and miles. Do you know what the quilt is, the AIDS quilt?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So the executive committee was formed, et cetera, and I was on it, and we all took positions, and I ended up as volunteer coordinator. So Jimmy called, and I was filling out applications over the phone, and that's where I'm going to leave it, James.
Here we go.
Love you
no,
like a brother.
I am not continuing that
love
story.
Love you like a brother. But ultimately, he ended up getting sick, and he didn't volunteer for the weekend.
I couldn't
but
make it
I actually
weekend.
Met him at KPFT
mm-hmm.
We've been doing the show with Buddy for quite a while. And Jimmy came up one night.
A friend of mine, Scott.
Kamla,
who had met someone who worked on this show and was enamored of the gentleman, called me up and said, there's this gay show on in the middle of the night. You need to listen to it. So I did that next Saturday night. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Because this was 1988, and people still were heavily closeted.
Yeah, I think.
And so I went up the next week to volunteer, to answer phones, to do anything. I wanted to be involved in this show. And here I am.
And here I am.
That was March of 1988.
That's right.
The show started in September of 1987. So it was 6 months after the show started.
This is your 13th year?
23rd
year.
Yeah.
Wow. It's an old show.
It is.
Buddy's in San Francisco doing his thing, and Bruce is in Houston, New Mexico doing his thing. Here we sit.
And here we are.
Here we are. He didn't really fire
a continuing tradition.
He didn't come anymore.
A continuing tradition.
Right.
That used to be one of the themes of the show.
That's right.
Now it's Queer Radio with Attitude.
I kind of like that, too.
Mm-hmm. So how does this differ from the other radio show?
The original one?
No, Queer Voices.
Queer Voices.
Queer Voices is more like a 60 Minutes of
gay
radio.
Oh, it is. That's a great description.
It is.
It is. It's just little segments, very regimented. Jack Walensky.
And when is that on?
Monday
nights, 9 to 11.
Actually, GCAM was on it last Monday night. Last night?
Yes.
Monday before last.
I think it was last Monday.
I don't know, one of these Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Go in, you can listen to that on
kpft.org.
What did you talk about? I didn't. Craig talked to Jack. Basically, a little bit about the history of GCAM and what we were doing.
Cool.
So, it was a very good interview. I really enjoyed listening to it. I enjoyed it even more because I wasn't doing it. Of course, I couldn't talk then. That was the week I couldn't talk.
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't even squeak.
You were squeaking.
Ouch. I'm still a little hoarse, but I'm not on anybody's couch, so it's okay.
She's a little horse, so that makes her a pony?
No, I'm just a little horse. It beats what some people want. No.
In fact, she's going to be moving before I am.
That's right.
Into my house.
I've been telling my pussy for weeks we're moving.
Yes.
That's right, except that we don't have a front door. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, I know.
Are you going to be in the Montrose then?
Technically, no. It's 77005.
It's right across the freeway from the Montrose. We're on the other side of Bissonnette by a block.
Oh, that's a nice area.
Museum District.
Yes.
Museum District.
Didn't used to be
between,
that way.
Yeah, between Shadow Lawn and Institute.
Next kind to the Rice Apartments, Rice University Apartments.
Outskirts of West University.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Between Bissonnette between Montrose and Mindell. That's about as Montrose as you can get to be out of Montrose.
Cool. So when's that moving going to happen?
Well, the construction crew is still there.
And they should finish up next week.
They're looking at finishing probably the end of next week.
And then we have just a couple other things.
Yeah.
Well, we have a tenant that has yet to move out.
Downstairs. The construction crew is working on the upstairs right now. Mm-hmm. And they'll be working on the downstairs after August 20th sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And
or sooner if she moves out sooner.
Well, that's true. We can always we can maybe set it sooner. Then we have the electrician, and the house was built in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Only I could inherit a 69-year-old house,
which means nothing to John. You know, but
don't kid yourself.
Oh, all right, couldn't tell by his face. But so we're having some
fun.
There he goes.
Countdown on that one. How long does it take John to get that joke?
The point is, he got
it. Thank you, Jimmy. That's right. I was there.
Yeah, but that's all the hand signals too. No, never mind. You're so dumb. All right, Wes, help me here. No.
Is it time for a piece of music?
Not yet.
But we're getting close.
Excuse me.
It is so late. who listens to
who let the owl
After
in
Hours?
Well, you know, I really don't know, but we had a theater group on a couple of weeks ago, and they brought in 20 tickets to give away, and we gave out 14, like, in 5 minutes
with
phone
amazing.
Calls.
I'm sitting
yeah.
here,
so,
like,
yeah,
half asleep, and I'm wondering who in their right mind would be
I used to sit under the dining room table and listen to it all the time, 2 to 4 a.m.
People driving home from the clubs listen to us.
Drunks.
Yeah. People who we have our MBBs, men behind bars,
mm-hmm. kids,
security guards, people who work at night, yeah. people who are night owls, people who want to know more about the gay community.
Kids who are hiding from their parents so they don't know they're listening.
Straight people tune in to see what those crazy queers are doing this week.
Uh-huh. A lot of Republicans, because we're the closest thing to a live talk radio that's local at this hour.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's not talking about UFOs and abductions.
In fact, right here on KPFT, we are the only public affairs show between midnight and 5.
Wow. Yeah. What
there
a title.
There you go.
And I know people that aren't in the Houston area that listen in also.
Yeah, online.
Yeah, a mm-hmm. lot of people online listen to us.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle.
She said she was going to listen.
She said she's going to listen tonight.
Online, yeah.
I got a buddy of mine in Austin that listens faithfully every week.
Mm-hmm.
So I know he's listening right now to us.
Good.
Which means he listens more than the crew that comes in for Roundtable.
Yes, very much so.
Well,
all right. Well,
he knows more about what goes on the show than they all do out there.
They have their own show going on. On the deck, outside deck.
Yeah. Not a place I want to be sometimes.
Yeah, and we can't catch that show. We can't catch that show on the cameras.
No, not tonight.
The last time they had Arbitron, and it's been a while.
Well, they keep locking those dumpsters over at Clear Channel.
We had something like 20,000 listeners, and we were the number 7 show in Houston in this time slot.
Wow.
Hmm.
How's that for a big deal?
That is.
It is.
Yeah.
Such a deal.
And you're making your goals fundraising wise?
This last time we did. Yeah, we did.
All right.
Yes.
with a little extra, I think, if I remember.
Yes, as a matter of fact, and there was an extra bonus that came in on PayPal, was it? I believe it was.
No, we
from Jewel Gray.
Yep.
Who is a Jewel Gray?
She's an ex-person on the radio.
Yes, yes. When when Buddy left the show, Jewel was one of the first people who came on and was a host.
Right.
And then she went away, and she came back as a host. And then there was a misunderstanding.
But she obviously still listens.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Jimmy's face and his expression. It's like.
Well,
but she also lives far enough away. There
no, it was
involved.
It
there's
just,
a big. It's not
yeah,
just the it radio. Was, it's there. There was a lot going on in her life too.
Yeah, I know.
So, but Jewel's a sweetie.
She is.
She is wonderful.
So. And she's. I met her going through training at the switchboard.
There you go.
Which was kind of my.
Your thing.
The
for
big
a long
beginning
time.
Of my activist days.
Woo.
That's how I met Jewel. She was a trainer, one of the trainers.
I could never
and
do switchboard.
Just, I don't know, we just kind of bonded.
Yeah, I sat on her board for a while, but I couldn't do the training.
Yeah.
Training is too intense for me.
It's very intense.
I can't do a full weekend of...
It's hello, this is KPFT. Self. How yeah. are you? Hello, this is KPFT.
No, this is the gay and lesbian switchboard.
No, this is a switchboard.
Oh,
this is
oh counseling.
Line.
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I can counsel, I just can't do their
it's
weekend.
Even more intense because it's... when I went through it, it was 2 weekends. Now it's 3.
Thank you anyway. I'll counsel people who call me at home. I think I do that, don't I? Yeah, okay. Just check
as it. As long as it's after noon.
You and Merlin.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, if they need counseling, they can call 24/7. But
yeah.
Fortunately, most of my friends have their problems at night.
Yeah.
How it works. So. But anyway...
So, John, the last time you were on, you were talking about a trip that you were planning
Boston.
With your kids.
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Was it San Francisco or was it Boston?
Boston.
No, it was San Francisco.
Okay.
Has that happened or is it going to happen?
No, that happened. We went out for a thing called Maker Faire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole do-it-yourselfers thing that goes on every year.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a magazine called Make Magazine, and we actually saw a copy. It was on display at the Museum of Contemporary Arts for a show that they did. They had a Make Magazine? Make Magazine. They had at the Museum of Contemporary Arts a... is that right? Contemporary Museum
one,
of
yeah.
Arts Museum? Yeah.
It's close enough.
Yeah, whatever.
It's that... that
Contemporary Arts Museum.
Yeah, so their whole theme was cool stuff.
I'm for cool stuff.
And so they had just cool stuff, and apparently Make Magazine was a cool thing, so they put it in a frame and hung it on the wall.
Wow.
So they were selling copies, and I looked at it. And anyways, this magazine has a thing every year where they get people who are do-it-yourselfers in electronics and whatever, green technology, that sort of thing, to get together, and they just are on display. And they had a thing out in Austin 2 years ago. They didn't have it last year because they couldn't get enough support. So I told the kids I'd take them out to San Francisco to see this thing. And it was cool because there's just so many cool people in San Francisco. My daughter went to the Swap-A-Rama shed with my wife, and they spent the afternoon taking apart old clothes and resewing it into new clothes.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
right. They don't want me to sew a machine, trust me.
My son learned how to solder electronic stuff. It's just an incredible place.
I didn't know you were a big do-it-yourselfer.
We're not. But
oh.
we are now.
We'd like to be. Yeah. We've got a 1980 Mercedes diesel wagon that I'm trying to get back into working condition. The air conditioning is not working on it, but
that's not something I want to drive right now.
That's a big project.
Yeah, it there's a place down on the east side of town that refines olive oil into biodiesel.
Really?
So the idea was to take this wagon back when the prices were like $5 a gallon.
No,
run it on biodiesel.
Yeah,
which is a little bit cheaper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
and.
Interesting.
So other than that, we're just into this whole, like, that's cool thing. And they have this fair
out. Because his kids are cool.
Yeah. The kids are
cool. They really are.
Yeah, they are.
And San Francisco is a cool place. And I was telling Merlin, I'd wanted to take the kids out 3 days early to see the city. Because all we did was go from the airport to the convention center and went back. But I wanted to go see San Francisco and show them around.
I want to see San Francisco.
But the principal wouldn't let them.
Yeah, you know, that's funny. They don't get paid if they're not sitting in their seats, so
they don't want
those kids there.
They want the kids in their seats, and that's when the money's rolling around.
That's right. Yeah, believe me, they're having problems with that.
Yeah, San Francisco's a really nice place. I spent 4 days there a few years ago, and got to see it quite a bit.
It's the one place I've never been that I really want to go.
Well, if you ever get to go, it's the one place you will see the original gay pride flag.
Where is that?
That could work.
In San Francisco.
Do you know where in San Francisco?
It's right in the middle of, what's the name of that district?
The Castro. Surely not Castro, yes.
Yeah, right in the middle of the Castro. I mean,
that makes sense.
It's a large, I mean, absolutely large flag, and it has all the original colors in it and everything.
Speaking of flags, GCAM was the recipient of either five or six, I don't remember, of the rainbow flags that used to hang on the... posts of the polls on Westheimer during Pride Month.
Really?
They can't hang them anymore, and they were looking a little tattered and worn.
Mm.
So they gave us about a half a dozen of them.
Oh, wow.
They're in the display case at GCAM right now for Pride Month. Yeah. So that was kind of exciting. We're going to have one framed. Eric from the Pride Committee is having one framed for them to put on their wall, and we're going to get together, and he's going to have one framed for us as well.
Oh, there you go.
So that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
They can't do things on the poles anymore.
You know what the largest gay pride flag is?
Is that one that they had in some parade that was like 66 blocks long or something?
Actually, it was one that the guy that created the original pride flag still lives.
The one with 8 colors?
But he created another pride flag with the colors that are in the flag today, and they actually had it down in Key West, and it stretched all the way from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific Ocean.
Cool.
There you go.
Cool.
Be aware of the winds when it picks it up.
Yeah, they had a lot of people holding that flag.
I'm sure they did.
And that's the large...
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Atlantic Ocean.
Atlantic, whatever.
Oh, Chris is away.
I'm going to the trip and play from Florida to California.
That's a long flag.
I never claimed to be a geography major.
not required.
Thank God you didn't drive the ship you were on.
Oh, well, that's okay.
We already have enough problem attacking the wrong country. Where would you have taken us?
Someplace I really wanted to go, not where they wanted to go.
We were just checking to see if Chris was listening.
So, hey, here's the question.
But I mean, that was a really long one.
I think San Francisco is the home of the original Sound of Music sing-along. And an outgrowth of that were the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Yes.
A group that runs around doing charitable acts and granting, I guess, indulgences.
Indulgences? Yeah. See, now, Chris belongs to the Sisters of Perpetual Girth. Is that right, Chris?
Immense Girth.
I'm sorry.
Sister Pig.
So we have our own group?
Yeah, this is Sister Pig behind me.
Sister Pig is behind Wes. Yeah.
Sister
Pig? It's the Big
Pig?
Men's Club. It's a...
Yes.
A group that performs. The Big Men's Club.
No, yeah, with the Big Men's Club, we've kind of adopted nuns' habits for a lot of stuff lately.
They did. They were in our revival, the GKM Tent Revival this year. It was fabulous.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Mm. Me too.
I was out of town.
Me too.
Come back next April.
I will have to.
Yes, second weekend in April.
So we have our own Sisters of Perpetual, our own religious order local.
Our own religious
order. Well, no,
yes.
we're not like, I mean... We no way.
Go ahead, stutter, Chris.
No way we try and compete with the acts or the political activism of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence in San Francisco. No, what we just do it as a fun thing that we've.
He puts on a non-habit.
We just came up with a
kooky
name for it, but we're no way. In the same league of style, performance, or activism that the Sisters of San Francisco are. They are
unbelievable. They're really into political activism, and they're like the old ACT UP. They just put it right out there.
It's cool.
Yeah. And they are great.
Chris put it out there too, but
absolutely
it was a little different.
Great.
Oops.
She's lucky I don't have my headphones on.
Well, he does it for money.
Yeah, Chris does it for
as
money.
Fundraisers.
Doesn't even have to be a dollar.
Yeah.
So that opening is still
and seldom is. What?
We still need a religious order here in Houston.
We do.
Oh yeah,
we do.
Yeah.
Well, the closest we have in Texas is probably, I mean, might be the Southern Baptist Women.
Yes, from Austin. It's a,
yeah,
it's
but
a
they won't come down
group
and do
of,
our shows.
Four middle-aged drag queens.
Uh-huh.
They're scary.
Yeah.
In what way?
Because they do look like old Baptist women. They do.
Those pillbox hats are the... they're just scary. Their little pumps and their shirtwaists.
Old floral dresses.
They do it too well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet they're not as scary as the Debris Sisters, though.
No, not...
No, you know, I can handle Debris and I can handle the good old...
TP?
Well,
Trashy Pinky.
When Trashy Pinky dresses, she looks like Madam.
Believe me, I've seen that.
I can handle that.
I've seen that. That's pretty scary.
But the
I do a good Betty Davis, too.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Then or now.
See that?
I get nauseous when he does Betty Davis.
It's the eyes.
I like
that. He's got the eyes going. Look
yeah.
At
yeah.
He's got Betty Davis eyes?
I do.
Oh, well.
And they can see tonight, I see. They're wearing the good glasses.
Yes, I have my glasses back.
John put mine back together for me. So. I thought I was going to be wearing your glasses for the next few days.
Well, this has been a very different segment.
Yes,
but
it has.
But it's been, kind of an eye-opener, get to know everybody and right. Talk on many different subjects, which is not a bad thing for a history segment.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I did mention GKM several times.
Yes, you did.
So, yep.
Okay.
Did you mention GKM's website?
The one that's www.gcam.org, gcam.org, with
that
my
one?
Address and my phone number and everything else on it.
Yeah.
And there is a Gulf Coast Archive and Museum located at...
401 Bernard.
Street, which is the old, which is now the MCC building, Montrose Counseling Center building, which used to be the old Fitness Exchange. And, you know, I needed to do a little blurb, and I forgot.
We're on the first floor. It's the called the Cultural Center. The first floor is the Cultural Center. And all you have to do is get off the elevators and look around you, because all you're going to see is GKM. We're on all the walls.
Oh, and there's a special Pride and Mary's display in our display case right across
there
from the
is.
Elevators
ooh,
right
ooh.
Now.
You ooh, wanted ooh. To talk about
Yes, I wanted to talk about Mary's. I forgot.
Okay.
I'm looking for anybody who has had anything to do with the memorial site out at Mary's in the back 40, so to speak.
If they've been to
if they've been to some or instigated any or whatever. I'm not looking for anybody and everybody who's done this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to see if anyone is aware of any kind of military affiliation that anyone who was back there or was memorialized back there
mm-hmm.
might have had.
Okay.
And if they can go, they can reach me at curator@gcam.org if they want to talk more about this. I know there are a lot of people
and
back
not
there.
Just military either, because we need to confirm who all may be back there.
Yes.
And we need to do that.
We're getting ready to do something, something fairly large.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't want, though, is to have to plow through the Mary's Naturally Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to contact me if they're at all interested in this.
Okay.
At curator@gcam.org. But I am particularly, I'm looking for anyone who has information, but I'm also looking in particular for people who might have been affiliated with the military in any way, shape, or form. At whatever time. I mean, we're World War One, the mm-hmm. you know, Gulf War, whatever.
Yeah.
I was in the military during the Gulf War.
Well, and thank you, Jesus, darling, you're not buried at Mary's, and you know, we didn't spread your ashes.
Yeah.
But if you know of anybody who was, I'm very proud of you for being in the military. Thank you very much.
We're talking about the people whose ashes have been interred in the back of Mary's.
And the reason you want to do that?
Well, we're getting ready to start on a big program kind of thing right now, and I don't want to say a whole lot about it yet.
Okay.
But, again, I mean, there's a long list on that Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and that's all well and good. I need to start trying to confirm some of these things before we can move a lot forward. And so if anybody wants to talk about this at curator@gcam.org, I'd be more than happy to talk to you, or anytime between noon and midnight, you can call me at 713-692-8735, and I'll talk to you in person and make my own notes while we chat.
Okay. Well, coming up very shortly is going to be our promos and station ID and all of that. And then we're going to do a little talking about our MBBs. We got a couple of letters this week.
Yeah, especially from Daryl.
Yeah, and I got one. So, with pictures.
Dirty pictures.
No, they're not dirty.
No, they're beautiful art.
They're not
what
dirty.
What is it about being in prison that you become an artist? I don't understand that.
It's great.
I've never been in prison. I can't make a straight line.
Oh, well,
thank you, John, for coming.
Thank
and
you, Jimmy.
All your information.
Thank you, Jimmy.
For the
You're
ride
welcome.
And for picking me up off the ground. And
anytime.
Everybody else who volunteers at After Hours for picking me up off the ground
everyone,
and walking me in.
Especially the gentleman that went out to get the medicine.
Yes, he went and got peroxide and bandaged him.
Oh, that was sweet.
Thank you, Wes. Thank you, Chris. Yes, I think so. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Jimmy. We have peroxide for your arm.
Well, I know.
Love you all. Bye.
The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom will be sponsoring the 11th annual Houston Peace Camp for Children, grades K through 5, July 19th through the 23rd, and July 26th through the 30th. For more information, go to their website at www.peacecamphouston.com or call 713-726-1266. You've been listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
KPFT have green elections. We really need your feedback and participation in order to cut the cost of this year's election and upcoming elections. You can go to kpft.org and click on the green elections link, or go to pacificaelections2010.org and you will find a green election survey. Please fill out this short survey and inform us if you need a paper copy of candidate statements sent with your ballot this year. If you elect to not receive candidate statements with your ballot, you can access them online at PacificaElections2010.org. If you access them online, this would help save us money in this election by cutting printing and mailing costs by more than a third. Visit KPFT.org or PacificaElections2010.org and link to Green Elections. Think Green, and this is KPFT Houston.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/afterhours.
thoughts. He was scared that it would hurt, so he practiced with a dildo to see how that would work. At first he was unsure, but then the breakthrough occurred. He felt freed and empowered. Now he's ready to be deflowered. He's into classical music and classical taste. He's got a classical butt and a classical waist. If ancient composers get him off, then just call me Rock Bottom Off. Rock, 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 rock bottom off. I wanna rock, rock, rock his bottom off. Rock, 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 rock bottom off.
Gee, I wonder what the name of that song was.
It's Pansy Division. I know John Ginoli's voice anywhere. He's not the best singer in the world, but, man, he's been hanging in there for quite a few years now doing that queer punk music.
Yeah.
I swear, one of these days, we're going to go through and pick up the dirtiest songs and the dirtiest artist names. So then when we fill up this list and actually someone looks at it, they're going to get a call and go, what is Ring of Joy?
Yeah. Like you have to ask.
pop you in the pooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you put a whole list of them together, they'll go, yeah, we had a salute to sodomy.
We
and we've done that before.
Yeah. We're going to have a salute to Stonewall in just a few minutes.
Yeah.
It's our annual playing of a wonderful, wonderful interview with people who were at Stonewall 20 years after the fact. This thing was done in 1989. And interviews people who were there, including police. So
and Jimmy Carper.
No, Jimmy Carper was not there. Jimmy Carper was in Houston in 1969 and didn't even hear about Stonewall until a couple of years later.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Took a while.
Well, you know, I mean, that's why we celebrate Juneteenth. It took several years to tell the slaves they were free. You know,
yes, exactly.
News travels slowly to Texas.
That's mm-hmm. right. But we have some MBB letters.
Do we?
Yes, we do. And Daryl's first on the list, right?
Oh, I hope. Yes, we got another letter from Daryl. If he's not listening, for the love of God, if somebody knows Daryl, tell him we got the letter.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we do all of our stuff later in the show. You know, we're tight at the beginning and loose at the end.
So to speak.
And well, that's how some of our guys are anyway.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't always get to it at the beginning of the show. He really hopes we receive us in good spirits and doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
He really liked the show Leather Ties. He has to admit it was different. That's one of the few reasons why he loves our show. Trying to get past there. One seems that he keeps thinking that his letters are getting stopped. I know they are getting through. It's just we don't get a chance to mention it earlier.
We should do that. Mention it when we're doing events.
He was also asking about, you know, hearing us talk about the Gay Pride Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And with it coming up soon, and he was wondering What is a gay pride parade like? And if you'd all consider festive. Taking a few pictures.
Festive. Actually, they'll be taking video of it. They do a video every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our unofficial staff photographer is always out there taking pictures.
Always. He takes hundreds and hundreds of pictures during the Pride Parade.
Yeah. As I hear him giggling in the background
that's
over
right.
there.
That's right. He's thinking about how much sleep he's got to
Paul better
pack
be
away before next Saturday.
I was going to say, he better be in there sleeping lots this week.
So what else is Daryl have to say? He didn't send me a picture of the outline of
his. Well, because we keep asking him after he has to go.
Oh, well, somebody tell him I need an outline.
So it's mainly just making sure that we're getting the letters and all that. Like he was asking about the Pride Parade. You know, it's Jimmy's been a lot more than I have been in.
What?
Pride parades.
Oh yeah.
Not prisoners.
I've been in every one since 1988.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, for me, you know, it's,
yes,
you know, you're being of size like this, being out in that heat all day.
It's tough.
It's kind of rough, and then you get into the parade, and you start seeing the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the one year that we had the disco ball. At the intersection at Montrose and Westheimer.
Yeah.
And when you make that turn and you see that, and that's where the largest congregation of people is, and it just something hits you there. And you really feel part of it. You know, for me, it's tiring. The way we go down the parade float, down the parade route with the After Hours and KPFT, I usually don't have a voice by the end of it.
I know you've done the intro so many times.
Yeah, I as part of the, you know, we play music, we play queer artists, and I'm not sure how well you actually hear it out in the parades thing. But we also, I go down and we do the intro to the show.
Yeah,
and hello.
That's right, because we have microphones.
We have microphones, and doing that 10, 15 times, each one trying to do it louder than the last time.
Yes.
And longer.
Well, you have to, because the crowd gets louder and louder.
Yeah. It was so much easier the one time I went down with Q Patrol, and all I just did was blow my whistle.
Mm.
But no, I've been in the parade most of them since we went to nighttime. I didn't go to any of the parades before the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably only two or three that I actually just watched instead of actually being in it. And it was with, you know, I've been with four different organizations that was in the, being in the Pride Parade. KPFT, Q Patrol 1 year, Houston Big Men's Club with 1 year, and a couple of years I went with the Community Center.
Yeah.
Oh, and I rode on the Colts float once.
Oh.
Because I didn't go with anyone else. So, yeah, it's something you have to experience. It's different when you're in that, you know,
there's nothing like it.
We do the radio show, and we figure, you know, there's 20 of you out there listening, and on a good night, and
stop.
And you know, to go out there and see all these people, and especially when, you know, the ones when they recognize it's KPFT, they may not know who the hell we are. You know, they may not.
A lot of them do.
Yeah, but the fact of seeing the station and recognizing that what this station does for the community, whether you listen to Queer Voices, whether you listen to us, whether you listen to, you know, BBC, Democracy Now, or any other program we have here, but seeing that and getting the recognition of that is just the amazing part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I know for myself, as far as Pride parades go, I've been in several, not as many as Jimmy, because I did, when I lived in Florida.
You're not old enough to be in as many as I have.
Yeah, you were doing them when I was still in high school.
See?
But when I lived in Florida, when I was part of the Gay Men's Chorus of South Florida, I marched in the parades down in Miami and the parades in Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did probably about four or five of those. And I can move back home. And I think my first parade that I attended in any capacity here in Houston was the year I marched with the Pagan Group.
Yeah.
That was the year I walked 3 miles down the road and regretted that afterwards because I was in dire pain. And then the next year I rode with KPFT. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, the funny thing is you're saying about you know, you walked at the 1 year here and you about died. I've walked 2 or 3
uh-huh.
of the parades, and that was at my bigger weight. In fact, I walked when the Big Men's Club did the float. I walked it.
Oh, boy.
Because with a parade float, with a motorized float, you need wheel monitors.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
And so we only had one person who was willing to walk on the one side, and I said, I'll walk. And they were looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about, Chris? I said, I've done it before.
Mm-hmm.
I walked with that. I walked the Q Patrol one. I walked, I think, one with the community center.
As long as they don't drive too fast.
Yeah, and that's the thing that always gets you, is that because you get that thing where you're just slow, and then all of a sudden, you know, they need you to just speed up, and you're going in a full sprint.
You can't do that. You can't do that when you're walking.
And that was, I mean, that was the year, and the one that I walked with the Houston Big Men is one that we had that special producer who got us the event we did between in the parking lot between South Beach and JR's.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm there dying from the heat and all that, and then Jimmy throws me on to interview Sheila Jackson Lee and Anise Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, I'm about to get sick. So, and, you know, and part of that was because I was hungry, and the stuff we had was all fried stuff, so I didn't have anything in me. I was heat stroking out and put greasy food into me, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, but you know, that's one thing with the pride, is it's something different.
Yeah, yeah.
That you have experience.
Yeah, it very much is. It's, but when you're, I think, like you said, when you're in the parade and you're a part of a group that everybody knows, it's always nice when you hear the people start. Get a little bit louder, mm-hmm. and start screaming out, and if they know your name, like probably most of them do for us here on the show, and they shout out your name, it's always something nice to hear.
It is.
One last part story I have to do is because you talked about Jewel. I always love this part about her. One of the times we did the community center float,
uh-huh.
and I got into the back, and it's back when Maria was still with us.
Oh my God, Maria Minicucci.
And got into the back of the float, and I'm standing next to Jewel, and she lights up a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I go, excuse me, I asked for the non-smoking vegetarian section of this float. And she looked at me, and she just goes, bite me. I do a big drag of her cigarette.
That is so Jewel. That is so Jewel. I love it.
But let's get to your letter now.
Did you finish yours?
Yeah. Yeah, mainly I was asking about the pride and getting the letters and that. But, yeah, because
we do.
The Stonewall thing is about 31 minutes. So
many, many years ago, I fell in love with a man, my very first love, and his name was William Dedman Calhoun. And tonight I opened a letter, I got a letter, and it says, hello, I am Elijah Calhoun. I thought, wow. I am 20 years old and have been incarcerated since I was 17. I'm writing after hours for a couple of reasons. First, I would like to thank you. You have helped me through some of the toughest times of my life. I am gay, but I have not come out. I am partially afraid to because of the discrimination that one goes through in a place such as this. I want to come out, and that is another reason that I am writing to you. I am asking for y'all's assistance in this. Would you please say my name and TDCJ number, which is 1529215. Elijah Calhoun. Here we go. Over the air, so that I can come out to all as like-minded listeners. I really appreciate this more than you will ever know. Also, I am in dire need of a pen pal. Someone who I can correspond with and share with who will not judge, but will give sound advice on the common problems of daily life. Jimmy, you would be great. Or anybody else from After Hours. I am going to send some pictures, and he did, of myself for y'all. You can keep them or send them back. I would like to copy them and maybe send them back because they may be the only copies that you have, Elijah. I would really like an autographed picture. We need to do that. We need to...
All we can do is when we... we're going to... Paul will hit us definitely when we're at the Pride Parade.
Okay.
And we can...
Yeah.
We'll get a picture with three of us there on the float, and...
You guys can even read this letter on the air. I would
well, I'm glad he gave us permission, because we just did.
Yes. Well, and this for now. I will be listening on Sunday. Elijah Calhoun. And that is T. His number is 152-9215.
Great. With your dyslexia, you just outed somebody else.
I know. The address is 902 FM 686, Hightower Unit, Dayton, Texas, 77535. And he sent some really great pictures.
Yeah, I mean...
He's a cutie.
Well, the thing is this, you know, Wes made the comment about, were they dirty pictures?
And no.
Like, well, since these are free world pictures, and he went in at 17, I'm going to assume no.
No, they're not.
No, because if not, we'd be having Chris Hansen over here.
Yeah, I
know. I'm still waiting
sure
to get that
call. Need that.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that call from you, Chris.
Okay.
A little Chris on Chris action.
Is it time for...
Yes, coming up is our right now is our special salute we play every year.
Yes.
Of an interview of some of the people who were at Stonewall, both the drag queens, the hustlers, and the cops.
Wow.
We'll be back at the top of the hour with Roundtable.
Okay.
Here's Stonewall.
Today, this white two-story building across from Sheridan Square in Greenwich Village is a clothing store and a closed Chinese restaurant. 20 years ago, this was the Stonewall Inn. I'm Michael Shirker, and I'm working on the first comprehensive history of the Stonewall riots. In 1969, the Stonewall was one of the most popular gay bars in New York City, and, like all other gay bars, was routinely raided by the Vice Squad. The patrons of these bars, many of whom were frightened at having their identities revealed, would quietly submit to any orders coming from the police. Yet, on June 27, 1969, that all changed. The patrons of this bar, with the drag queens at the forefront, decided to fight back against the police. What happened here on that night would spark a revolution.
I am Gene Harwood, and my age is 80.
I'm Bruce Merrill.
He also would like to know what your age is. So you
my
tell
age,
him your age.
78. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if it's really true, but now people do refer to us as the two oldest gay men in America. We do, have maybe a record relationship of almost 60 years together. Bruce's memory started going bad in 1984. Fortunately, we have our music together, which we've done over the years. We've written any number of songs. Bruce remembers the melodies very well and the lyrics for the songs.
When you touched me, when you took my hand, something happened I had never planned.
Being gay before Stonewall was a very difficult proposition, because we felt that in order to survive, we had to try to look and act as straight as possible. The attitude, the general attitude of society as far as employers were concerned and landlords, all of these people were very hostile, and to protect ourselves, we had to act as rugged and manly as possible to get by in
my name
in
is Randy Wicker. I was the first openly gay person to appear on radio in 1962 and on television in 1964 as a self-identified homosexual. In the year before Stonewall, people felt a need to hide because of the precarious legal position they were in. They would lose their jobs. There was a great hostility, socially speaking, in the sense that people found out you were gay, they assumed you were a communist or a child molester or any of another dozen stereotypes that were rampant in the public media at the time.
I'm Jerry Fair, and I'm 80 years old. I started a gay lifestyle in 1948 when I was around 39 or 40. At that time, if there was even a suspicion that you were gay, that you were a lesbian, you were fired from your job, and you were in such a position of disgrace that you slunk out without saying goodbye. People that like doing you like.
Hold on, everyone. We seem to be experiencing technical difficulties. See what's going on here with the CD. It's kind of stuttering and stopping. You know what it is? I think it's because we went to CD1. Let's see if we can do better down here. First of all, hold on. I can't do a thing without my glasses.
You're so professional for a second there.
Huh?
For a second you said that so smoothly and so professionally.
Yeah, then, I guess, yeah. 30-something years of masturbation and 3 years of diabetes. I'm lucky I can see across the room.
I'm not sure, but I think one of those has never been actually proven.
Let's try this again and see if this
is a great hostility, socially speaking, in the sense that people found out you were gay, they assumed you were a communist or a child molester or any of another dozen stereotypes that were rampant in the public media at the time.
I'm Jerry Fair, and I'm 80 years old. I started a gay lifestyle in 1948 when I was around 39 or 40. At that time, if there was even a suspicion that you were gay, that you were a lesbian, you were fired from your job, and you were in such a position of disgrace that you slunk out without saying goodbye even to the people that liked you and you liked. Even bother.
This is not good, people.
To clean your desk.
All right, let's. No, it looks clean.
No scratches?
No scratches.
What'd you do to it, Chris?
I didn't do nothing to it. All right, let's try CD number 3. Maybe it's because I used an Office Depot CD to burn this onto years ago.
Worked fine last year.
That was like a whole year ago.
Go figure, huh?
Yeah, if not, then we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do next, because that's what we had planned. Take 3.
I was the first openly gay person to appear on radio in 1962 and on television in 1964 as a self-identified homosexual. In the year before Stonewall, people felt a need to hide because of the precarious legal position they were in. They would lose their jobs. There was a great hostility, socially speaking, in the sense that people found out you were gay. They assumed you were a communist or a child molester or any of another dozen stereotypes that were rampant in the public media at the time.
I'm Jerry Fair, and I'm 80 years old. I started a gay lifestyle in 1948 when I was around 39 or 40. At that time, if there was even a suspicion that you were gay, that you were a lesbian, you were fired from your job, and you were in such a position of disgrace that you slunk out without saying goodbye even to the people that liked you and you liked. Never even bothered to clean your desk. You just disappeared. You just disappeared. You went quietly because you were afraid that the recriminations that would come if you even stood there and protested would be worse than just leaving.
My name is Sylvia Rivera. My name before that was Ray Rivera until I started dressing in drag in 1961. The era before Stonewall was a hard era. There was always the gay bashings on the drag queens by heterosexual men, women, and the police. We learned to live with it because it was part of the lifestyle at that time, I guess. But none of us were very happy about it.
My name is Seymour Pine. In 1968, I was assigned as deputy inspector in charge of public morals in the first division in the police department, which covered South Manhattan from 38th Street to the Battery, including the Greenwich Village area. It was the duty of public morals to enforce all laws concerning vice and gambling, including prostitution, narcotics, and laws and regulations concerning homosexuality. The part of the penal code which applied to drag queens was section 240.35, section 4. Being masked or in any manner disguised by unusual or unnatural attire or facial alteration, loiters, remains, or congregates in a public
place. At that time, we lived at the Arista Hotel. We'd sit around, just try to figure out when this harassment would come to an end. And we would always dream that one day it would come to an end. And we prayed and we looked for it. Wanted to be human beings.
My name is Red Mahoney. I've been hanging out, drinking, partying, and working in the gay bars for the last 30 years. In the era before Stonewall, all of the bars, 90% of the bars, were mafia controlled. They were controlled because the mafia had the right connections. There wasn't that many gay bars. You'd have maybe one, two uptown on the Upper East Side. They would get closed down, and there'd be one or two on the West Side. They'd get closed down, and Midtown, there'd be one, two, three, maybe open. As they would get closed down, they'd move around, and they would dump.
I'm Joan Nessel, co-founder of what is now the largest collection of lesbian culture in the world. The police raided lesbian bars regularly, and they both did it in the most obvious way, which was hauling women away in paddy wagons. But there was regular weekend harassment, which would consist of the police coming in regularly to get their payoffs. And in the Sea Colony, we had a back room with a red light. And when that red light went on, it meant the police would be arriving in around 10 minutes. And so we all had to sit down at our tables. And we would be sitting there almost like school children. And the cops would come in. Now, depending on who was on, which cop was on, if it was some that really resented the butch women, who were with many times very beautiful women, we knew we were in for it, because what would happen is they would start harassing one of these women and saying, "Huh, you think you're a man? Come outside, we'll show you." And the woman would be dragged away. They'd throw up against a wall, and they'd say, "So you think you're a man? Let's see what you got in your pants." And they would put their hand down her pants.
The Stonewall? Oh, that was a good bra. That was. Just to get into the Stonewall, you'd walk up and you'd knock on the front door. You'd knock and the little door would open and, "Hey, what do you want?" "A Mary sent me." "Good. Come on in, girls." You know, when you walked in, to your right was your bar room, no windows. Down at the far end of the bar was an opening in the wall going into the dance room with the jukebox in that room, and no windows in that room either. The Stonewall, like all gay bars at that time, were painted black. Charcoal black. And what was the funny part? The place would be so dimly lit, but as soon as the cops were going to come in to collect their percentage or whatever they were coming in for, from it being a nice, dimly lit dump, the place was lit up like Luna Park.
You felt, well, two guys, and that's very often all we sent in would be two men, could handle 200 people. I mean, you tell them to leave, and they leave, and you say, "Show me your identification," and they all take out their identification and file out, and that's it, and you say, "Okay, you're not a man, you're a woman, or you're vice versa, and you wait over there." I mean, this is a kind of power that you have, and you never gave it a second thought.
The drag queen took a lot of oppression, and we had to... We were at a point where, I guess, nothing would have stopped us. I guess, as they say, or as Shakespeare says, we were ladies in waiting, just waiting for the thing to happen. And when it did happen, we were there.
On Friday night, June 27, 1969, at about 11:45, eight officers from Public Morals 1st Division loaded into four unmarked police cars. From their headquarters on 21st Street and 3rd Avenue, they headed downtown and then west towards the Stonewall Inn here at 7th Avenue and Christopher Street. It was the second time the bar was raided that week. The local 6th Precinct had just received a new commanding officer who kicked off his tenure by initiating a series of raids on gay bars. And New York was in the midst of a mayoral campaign, always a bad time for homosexuals. Mayor John Lindsay had good reason to agree to the police crackdown. He had just lost his party's primary and needed a popularity boost. And the Stonewall Inn was indeed an inviting target. Operated by the Gambino crime family without a liquor license, this dance bar drew a crowd of drag queens, hustlers, minors, and more masculine lesbians known as bull dykes. Many were black or Hispanic. It was a warm night in New York City and a somber day for many. Judy Garland, who had died earlier in the week, was buried that morning. It was almost precisely at midnight that the Moral Squad pulled up to the Stonewall Inn, led by Deputy Inspector Seymour Pine.
There was never any reason to feel that anything of any unusual situation would occur that night.
He could actually feel it. Yeah. He really could. I guess Judy Garland's death just really helped us really hit the fan.
For some reason, things were different this night. As we were bringing the prisoners out, they were resisting.
People started gathering in front of the Sheridan Square Park right across the street from Stonewall. People were upset. "No, we're not going to go." And people started screaming and hollering.
One drag queen, as we put her in the car, opened the door on the other side and jumped out. At which time we had to chase that person, and
He was caught, put back into the car. He made another attempt to get out the same door, the other door. And at that point, we had to handcuff the person. From this point on, things really began to get crazy.
My name is Robert Rivera, and my nickname is Birdie, and I've been cross-dressing all of my life. I remember the night of the riots. The police were escorting the queens out of the bar and into the paddy wagon. And there was this one particularly outrageously beautiful queen with stacks and stacks of Elizabeth Taylor-style hair. And she was asking them not to push her. And they continued to push her, and she turned around and she mashed the cop with her high heel. She knocked him down, and then she proceeded to frisk him for the keys to the handcuffs that were on him. She got them, and she undid herself and passed them to another queen that was behind her.
Well, that's when all hell broke loose at that point. And then we had to get back into Stonewall.
My name is Howard Smith. On the night of the Stonewall riots, I was a reporter for the Village Voice, locked inside with the police, covering it for my column. It really did appear that crowd, because we could look through little peepholes in the plywood windows. We could look out, and we could see that the crowd, well, my guess was within 5-10 minutes, it was probably several thousand people. Two to 2,000, easy. And they were yelling, kill the cops, police brutality, let's get them, we're not going to take this anymore, let's get them.
We noticed a group of persons attempting to uproot one of the parking meters, in which they did succeed. And they then used that parking meter to as a battering ram to break down the door. And they did, in fact, open the door. They crashed it in. And at that point was when they began throwing Molotov cocktails into the place. It was a situation that we didn't know how we were going to be able to control.
I remember someone throwing a Molotov cocktail. I don't know who the person was, but I mean, I saw that, and I just said to myself in Spanish, I said, oh my God, the revolution is finally here. And I'm just like started screaming, freedom. We're free at last, you know, and it felt really good.
There were a couple of cops stationed on either side of the door with their pistols, like in a combat stance, aimed in the door area. A couple others were stationed in other places, behind like a pole, another one behind the bar. All of them with their guns ready. I don't think up to that point I had ever seen cops that scared.
Remember, these were pros, but everybody was frightened. There's no question about that. I know I was frightened, and I'd been in a combat situation, and there was never any time that I felt more scared than I felt that night. And, I mean, there was just, you know, there was no place to run.
When the Moral Squad officers barricaded themselves inside the Stonewall, Deputy Inspector Pine put in a 1041 call, an emergency help request which can only be placed by a high-ranking officer. That call was mysteriously canceled, and the telephone inside the Stonewall went dead. It took nearly 45 minutes for the riot police to get to the Stonewall and rescue the Moral Squad from the smoldering bar.
Once the tactical police force showed up, I think that really incited us a little bit more.
My name is Martin Boyce. In 1969, I was a drag queen known as Miss Martin. I remember on that night, when we saw the riot police, all of us drag queens, we linked arms, like the Rockettes, and sang the song we used to sing. We are the village girls. We wear our hair in curls. We wear our dungarees above our Nelly knees. And the police went crazy hearing that, and they just immediately rushed us. We gave one kick and fled.
My name is Rudy, and the night of the Stonewall, I was 18.
And to tell you the truth, that night I was doing more running than fighting. I remember looking back from 10th Street. And there on Waverly Street, there was a police, I believe, on his cop, and is on his stomach in his tactical uniform and his helmet and everything else, with a drag queen straddling him. She was beating the hell out of him with her shoe. Whether it was a high heel or not, I don't know. But she was beating the hell out of him. It was hysterical.
My name is Mama Jean. I'm a lesbian. And I guess you would label me as a butch. I remember on that night, I was in a gay bar, a women's bar, called Cookies. We were coming out of the gay bar, going toward 8th Street. And that's when we saw everything happen. Blasting away, people getting beat up. Police coming from every direction. Hitting women as well as men with their nightsticks. Gay men running down the street with blood all over their face. We decided right then and there whether we're scared or not. We didn't think about it. We just jumped in.
But here, this queen has gone completely bananas, you know, jumping and hitting the windshield. And next thing you know, the taxi cab was being turned over, or the cars were being turned over. Things, windows were shattering all over the place. Fires were burning around the place. It was beautiful. It really was.
I remember one cop coming at me, hitting me with the nightstick in the back of my legs. I broke loose and I went after him. I grabbed his nightstick. My girlfriend went behind him. She was a strong southern girl. I wanted him to feel the same pain I felt. And I kept on saying to him, "How do you like the pain? Do you like it? Do you like it?" I kept on hitting him and hitting him. I was angry. I wanted to kill him. At that particular minute, I wanted to do
every destructive thing that I could think of at that time to hurt anyone that had hurt us through the years.
It's like just when you see a man protecting his own life. They weren't the queens that people call them. They were men fighting for their lives. And I'd fight alongside them any day, no matter how old I was.
There were a lot of heads were bashed. But it didn't hurt their true feelings. They all came back from war. That's when you could tell that nothing could stop us at that time or at any time in the future.
The media covered the riot extensively. The Daily News featured it on its front page. There were reports on all the local television and radio stations. By the next day, graffiti calling for gay power had appeared on buildings and sidewalks all over the West Village. Hastily worked up flyers, distributed on street corners, touted the night as the hairpin drop heard round the world. And the next night, thousands of men and women converged on the West Village. They came here, back to the Stonewall, to see what would happen next. While trash cans were set on fire, stones were thrown, and sporadic fighting broke out between police and gays, the more than 400 riot police milling around the village ensured that the previous night's violence would not be repeated. But on this night, for the first time, gay couples could be seen walking hand in hand or kissing in the streets. Just by being there, surrounded by reporters and photographers and onlookers, thousands of men and women were proclaiming to themselves and the rest of the world that they were gay. And the crowds grew and came back the next night, and for one more night the following week. What happened here on those nights helped to usher in a new era, both personally and politically, for gay men and lesbians.
When Stonewall happened, Bruce and I were still in the closet where we had been for nearly 40 years, but we realized that this was a tremendous thing that had happened at Stonewall, and it gave us a feeling that we were not going to be remaining closeted for very much longer. And soon thereafter, we did come out of the closet.
My name is Jenny Apuzzo. In 1969, I was in the convent. I was in the Sisters of Charity, and when Stonewall hit the press, it hit me with a bolt of lightning. It was as if I had an incredible release of my own outrage at having to sequester so much of my life. I made my way down. I seem to recall in subsequent nights being down on the, you know, kind of just in the periphery looking, observer, clearly an observer, clearly longing to have that courage to come out. And it was a matter, as I recall, it was only a matter of weeks before I left the convent and started a new life.
I'm Henry Baird. In 1969, I was in the U.S. Army, a Specialist 3 stationed at Long Binh Post near Saigon in Vietnam. I remember I was having lunch in the Army mess, reading the Armed Forces news summary of the day. And there was a short paragraph describing a riot led by homosexuals in Greenwich Village against the police. And my heart was filled with joy. I thought about what I had read frequently, but I had no one to discuss it with. And secretly within myself, I decided that when I came back stateside, if I should survive to come back stateside, I would come out as a gay person. And I did.
For those of us in public morals, after the Stonewall incident, things were completely changed from what they had previously been. They suddenly were not submissive anymore. They now suddenly had gained a new type of courage. And it seemed as if they didn't care anymore about whether they were whether their identities were made known. We were now dealing with human beings.
My name is Jim Forat, and I'm in the mid-60s, along with Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin. I was one of the founders of the Yippie movement. I remember on the third night of the riots, there was this meeting called by Mattachine Society at St. John's Church on West on Waverly Place. We went, and Randy Wicker was running the meeting.
For 10 years, I've been going on television as Randy Wicker, a respectable homosexual dressed in dark suit and tie, explaining to people that most homosexuals look like everybody else and behave like everybody else. And when Stonewall began happening, you had chorus lines of queens kicking their heels up at the police and bonfires burning in the corner trash baskets and throwing bricks and stones at the police. I was horrified because this violated everything that we thought of as responsible behavior, that this was not the way respectable citizens behaved.
Evelyn Hooker was a sociologist, I believe. Randy had introduced her, and she got up, and she suggested that we should have a candlelight march, that we should turn the other cheek because gay people were really different, we were really nice, and we had to show how nice we were and stop all this rioting because people were going to get hurt. I remember I stood up and I said, no, we are not going back. And people felt the same thing I felt. And we marched out of that room, and that was the night that the Gay Liberation Front was born.
Today I live in a senior citizen apartment building. What's different now is that I can be free. I have a daughter who's a senior citizen, and my son is 58. They know about my homosexuality. My three grandchildren in their 30s know about their grandmother. I have a great-granddaughter who, at the age of 10, learned that Grandma Jerry was a lesbian, and she thought that was most interesting. And yet, I still don't have the personal courage to not care if these yentas in the building know that Jerry's a lesbian.
Well, I retired from the police department in 1976. 20 years have passed. I'm going to be 70 in a few months. I still don't know the answers. I would still like to know the answer. I would like to know whether I was wrong, whether I was right in ever thinking that there was a difference, and ever thinking that maybe you shouldn't trust a homosexual because something is missing in his personality.
The archives of lesbian culture. which surrounds us now and was created 4 years after Stonewall, owes, at least for my part, its creation to that night and the courage that found its voice in the streets. That night, in some very deep way, we finally found our place in history. Not as a dirty joke, not as a doctor's case study, not as a freak, but as a people.
Remembering Stonewall was engineered by Spider Blue. It was produced by David Isay with a grant from the Pacifica National Program Fund. I'm Michael Shirker.
Today I'm a 38-year-old dragman. I can keep my long hair, I can pluck my eyebrows, and I can work wherever the hell I want. And I'm not going to change for anybody. If I change, then I feel that I'm losing what 1969 brought into my life. And that was to be totally free.
How can I ever close the door and be the same as I was before? Darling, no, no, I can't anymore. It's true, baby,
you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude from listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You've been listening to our Stonewall special. We're going to do the PSAs and come back with Roundtable. Trust me, you're going to love some of these stories.
This fall, KPFT will hold an election to seat delegates on the local station board. There will be separate but parallel elections for both listener and staff delegates to the Pacifica Foundation's five local station boards. That election may seem like a long way away, but it will be here before you know it. Why not consider participating in KPFT as a member of our board? Board delegates are elected to bring diverse grassroots voices from the community into the dialogue between the community and the station. Candidates are chosen in both listener and staff pools. To be a listener candidate, you can contribute at least $25 to a foundation radio station. If you are a KPFT volunteer and want to be considered as a staff candidate, you must complete 30 or more verifiable volunteer hours at a foundation radio station. Pacifica's principles inspire us to strive for diversity, and we encourage members of our diverse communities to consider being a part of this board. This is KPFT, Houston.
This is a political alert from Pacifica Radio Network to you, our listeners and activists. Help keep KPFT alive with the diverse voices of our community by running for your local station board and voting for the listener candidates. Nominations are open for the 2010 local station board election. Please visit PacificaElections2010.org to request a nomination package. For more information, contact Kathy Kidd at LES_KPFT@Pacifica.org. Candidate nomination packages must be received by June 30th at midnight. KPFT Houston.
And we're back. Chris, would you get over here and get some roundtable started?
Ah!
Jeez.
Wow. See, it says, all says Les.
I see that.
Yeah. I put on my headphones.
Yeah, I think we need to work on...
The hell? It's all cockeyed. There we go.
We need to be more specific in this show.
There we go. I wasn't fully extended. I hate it when the Viagra kicks in late.
So does Jimmy.
No, he's a Cialis guy.
Wrong.
He likes Levitra.
That's right.
How could you're...
Well, there is he.
How did you know that?
It was a wild guess.
Yeah, then again, we're talking with Jiminy. You know, Omnaris is considered a good starting drug. Make sure that nose is cleared out.
Oh, yes.
All righty. We've got Roundtable. I got a lot of stuff. I found a lot of stuff this week.
Did you now?
Where are my glasses?
I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. There they are on your bag.
Oh. Like, I can't see.
On the old bag.
Jimmy! There, I can see now.
He opened his eyes.
I said it earlier, I'll say it again. You know, all the years of masturbation and diabetes, I'm lucky I can see anything. Actually, I ran into that problem a couple weeks ago. Went to a restaurant that I did the menu for them. I have seen this menu hundreds of times, and I still had to go get my glasses to see what the hell was on it.
Well, it just proves he can't see straight.
True.
Twinkle, twinkle.
No, the twinkle takeover. This is the first time for us. I think we'll be using the New Yorker magazine.
Oh, my.
Is it New Yorker or New York magazine? Hold on. Just make sure I get it right. The New York magazine. With an article on them called The Twinkle Takeover. Gay and gay-seeming boys on the TV and at the mall. Is it finally okay to be a 13-year-old sissy?
Hell yes.
Of course.
From the feather-cuffed, drama-filled Olympic figure skating competitions to the ashamedly oddball high school TV show Glee. Being young and gay suddenly has a place in pop culture that isn't cruel or tragic.
Finally.
I disagree on the stuff with Kurt.
He does get thrown in a dumpster.
Well,
they actually stopped doing that during the second season.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. Okay, I was kind of forced into watching Glee to try and have a common talking point with somebody.
Yes.
And, you know, they got to this one storyline, and it's like, I really hated it when he was having this intense crush on Finn. To the point of trying to get his mom or his dad and Finn's mom together, so basically they could share a bedroom. And it seemed way too. I was uncomfortable with this. Let me stalk the high school quarterback enough so I can see him naked.
Right.
And so you know now I've turned around and I'm watching them from the beginning, and I'm going. It's a good thing I didn't watch the show from the beginning because I probably would have been turned off from the start. You know, when the high school counselor makes a fellatio joke to one of her students.
Yeah.
In episode one, I would go, huh? So.
Sounds pretty tacky.
Yeah. Which I guess just means I'm getting old. Of course, there's never been a lack of gay subtext on television. Dukes of Hazzard. Pee-wee Herman,
yes.
Johnny Quest, yeah. SpongeBob. But it seems that in our world of niche entertainment marketing, gay boys are becoming a viable demographic, up there with tween girls and security moms. Call them twinkles. Preteen boys who may not know yet they're gay, or may not want to say that they're gay yet, but who have a gleam in their eye and a definite sensibility. Twinkles are proudly prance, unashamedly emote, high kick, jazz hand, belt out paparazzi with a piano. That's a little pot shot at Grace and Michael.
Yeah.
Everything a gay kid used to do in his bedroom with the door shut. Considering the current rage of twinkle archetypes and twinkle-friendly supporters, we have High School Musical's Ryan singing with spunk and no convincing male romantic interest. Female romantic interest. Kurt on Glee is an intelligent and confident sissy main character. Ugly Betty's Justin gets to kiss a boy. Project Runway champ Christian Siriano gives off a constant femi fierceness. The raccoon-eyed, magic wardrobe Adam Lambert is basically a 14-year-old gay kid's fantasy of a rock star. There's even a heartthrob, Taylor Lautner. I'm not claiming he's gay, there's just something about him. No matter how hard-bodied and abstinent the Twilight franchise tries to make him, I cannot repress the ascending megastar's yearning sweetness or his droves of swooning boy fans. Maybe the most significant sign of the times is the piano-playing sixth-grader Grayson Chance, who belted out Lady Gaga's Paparazzi at his high school talent show and got a record deal a month later.
Which apparently, it came to light later, might have been a publicity stunt.
I'm not saying he's gay either, but he sure is twinkly. The Twinkle's market power has not been scientifically measured, but their consumer presence is getting noticed. Young males today are shopping more than any other generation before them, says Mike Gotti, executive director of the Retail Advertising and Marketing Association. In the last year or so, we're seeing a proliferation of merchandise targeting young men, clothing, and also things like skincare, lotion, and hair products aimed at 12 and 13-year-old boys. We're also seeing young boys buying things that cross traditional gender lines. Beyond the money to be made with this market, there's a telling fact that the sensitive wizard role model, albeit heterosexual, Daniel Radcliffe, is going to be appearing in a PSA for gay youth suicide prevention. Pre-internet, a twinkle would have had a very difficult and potentially dangerous time finding his peers, said David Kleeman, president of the American Center for Children and the Media. With hundreds of TV channels and in-game advertising and the internet, advergaming, and product placement, there are virtually infinite options to target the real niche groups of kids who are most likely interested in what you're selling. Although all of this is a deliberate parenting to the first generation to have had a queer studies in college curriculum, it's become almost fashionable to look for, instead of dread, signs of queerness in this generation's offspring. I know a couple in Brooklyn have a 7-year-old son who loves to bead instead of play soccer and recently made a careful drawing of a tab can with pink markers. And the other week, my friend Seth was trying to give his 12-year-old son Jake a supportive advice. I was trying to tell him it was okay if he liked boys or girls, says Seth. He just interrupted me and said, yeah, I know, Dad. Right now, I don't like either.
Well, that's a start.
Yeah. So, an interesting article on the
twinkles. So this is
so we got a new word now.
So are they? Does that mean they're twinkles? They're pre-twink.
Pre-twinks.
I guess. I mean, they have a picture here of Kurt from Glee doing his best Rufus Wainwright from when he was performing his takeoff of Gypsy Rose Lee.
I liked when he did Single Ladies.
Yeah, I also found a sad internet video of him being at the group of them being at a mall, and him being forced all of a sudden to do the Single Ladies. But Puck does look cute in glasses. Yeah.
I was just saying, and you see how long Ugly Betty lasted after the gay kid.
Yeah.
Well, they were already on their way out the door by then, so.
They didn't have anything to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
St. Pete Pride cancels its contract with Clear Channel over censorship of gay couple billboards. Basically, St. Pete Pride put out 4 billboards that they wanted to have. One features 2 men at a beach scene. It says, "My family is fun." St. Pete Pride, June 26th. There's a lesbian couple getting ready for a kiss. It says, "My family is free." There is a dominatrix drag queen. It says, "My family is fierce."
Awesome.
And an interracial gay male couple with a child. It says, "My family is fabulous and fearless."
Nice.
Now, Clear Channel approved the transvestite and the couple adopting the child, but not the one of the shirtless gay male couple or the bikini-clad lesbians going in for a kiss.
Clear Channel is a bunch of pansies.
I think it would have been all for, you know, a girl-on-girl kiss.
And what Honey, was Clear Channel's pansies, argument
we wouldn't
here.
Having, be having this conversation.
They don't say. They didn't get a word there. Yeah, Peter Schorsch from the St. Well, let's see, maybe it's up top here. Hold on. Oh, here we go. I wrote clear channel to the same private. After consulting with our division president and public affairs director, the two images that I attached are the only ones that we have the permission to run for your campaign. I'm going to schedule these two to begin running on Monday. If you'd like to create a few more designs that we might be able to use, please send them my way. After I receive approval for any new designs, I'll put them in rotation with these two. The reaction of the innocuous couple images were understandably miffed organizers.
Understandably,
yeah, and they're not. I mean, the gay male couple one. You can see the one guy has his arm over the other one.
They look like a couple of friends just taking a posing for a picture.
And they are cut off high enough because I don't know if it's a Florida law, but I know in Miami there was a law that you can't show nipples on a billboard. And these are cut high enough.
Yeah, they're about right here.
Yeah,
there can be nipples all over every beach from one end of Florida to the other.
But heaven forbid,
it's on a billboard.
But no male nipples.
But what's wrong with male nipples?
Look, the only reason I know that is a couple years ago when they, I follow professional wrestling, when they had their large event there in Miami a couple years ago. The billboards they had with some of the wrestlers who don't wear a shirt, they had to actually airbrush over the nipples.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, look, they're aliens. They have no nipples. They're flat-chested, just like a Ken doll.
No, Ken doll's flat crotched.
Yeah, that too.
You know, the phrase, hung like a Ken doll?
There's something vaguely reminiscent about that whole TV thing about people not sleeping, couples not sleeping in the same bed about those billboards.
Something did vaguely we have a conversation about that
we
earlier
had
tonight?
We had this conversation earlier tonight, actually, yes.
A report is circulating around the internet that Warren Beatty and Annette Bening's 18-year-old daughter, Kathleen, is making plans to have sex reassignment surgery to become a man. Unlike Chaz Bono, she has not chosen the masculine version of her name, which would have been Keith, but instead going with the name Stephen Ira. The Daily Mail reported how Hollywood veteran Beatty, 73, is crushed by his child's determination to change her gender. Meanwhile, Miss Bening, 52, who starred in American Beauty, is trying to support her daughter in the best she can, despite finding the situation heartbreaking.
I did not realize that Warren Beatty was that old already.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank God.
Are they Jewish?
I don't know.
I was just wondering, Ira?
Warren Beatty is by himself over the situation with his daughter Kathleen, a source told The Inquirer. He and Annette have tried to deal with this over the years when their daughter was younger, but she's determined to go ahead with the transgendered operation just like Chastity Bono. She repeatedly told her parents that once she turns 18, she will take matters into her own hands. Supposedly there is a Facebook site that she has put up and where she's trying to get donations to get the surgery done. Mm-hmm. And she's not a bad-looking boy.
No. Although it's not her own hands. She's putting them in. She's in the hands of a doctor or three or four.
Yeah, but now I you know, I've cut the changed the bangs a little bit and could be a Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that does have that Bieber
you mean
feeling.
A 15-year-old preteen lesbian? What?
Yeah, there was a story that came out of a
with the voice box to match.
Yeah, there was a story came out this past week of a 20-something-year-old lesbian who was at a bar drinking, and somebody called the cops saying that Justin Bieber was at the bar drinking. And then the cops came out and carded her and having to prove that she's not Justin Bieber.
Oh, that poor boy.
So apparently the person who called and the cops had not seen the website Lesbians That Look Like Justin Bieber.
Obviously not.
Oh, my. That poor, poor child.
You know, that's right Bieber, up there with the Snuggy Sutra.
An 18-year-old temporary worker in Las Vegas is taking on the world's biggest realtor after feeling embarrassed and humiliated during his 2 months of employment. Back in March, 18-year-old Fernando Galarago had a seasonal job at Las Vegas Walmart, hoping to make a few extra dollars. But a few weeks into his job, Gallardo said his immediate supervisor asked him point blank in front of four of his coworkers if he was gay. And from then on alienated him from the other 50 other associates at that location. I told her yes, and after that she was very rude and short with me, he told the Advocate. Colorado said that soon after the incident, he was stripped of many of his daily duties and asked to wear a yellow vest and walk around the store. By mid-May, his supervisor and two other managers stopped talking to him completely. I was completely ignored and shunned, he wrote in a complaint to the Nevada Equal Rights Commission. I had nothing to do all day but wander around the store wearing a yellow vest no one else had to wear, much like the Jews had to wear a yellow Star of David in Hitler's Germany.
I knew they were going to do
that.
That's
a big route. That is kind of a big jump, though.
Yeah. I knew they were going to go that way.
Gallardo said he went to the human resources manager to file a report, but to no avail. He also accuses the store management of attempting to bribe some of his temporary co-workers with permanent positions in exchange for saying he volunteered the information about his sexual orientation. However, Gallardo said he felt pressured into telling his boss he was gay by the pointed way she had asked.
I don't see where it was any of her business in the first place.
Exactly.
But, it should matter what my personal life is, but what I was supposed to say other than the truth. I didn't want to lie. This is who I am. Now, this article does also mark another unusual twist from us. We used New York Magazine, and now we're using The Advocate Magazine.
Ooh. For a change.
Wow. Yeah.
But, man, that just shows how backwards some people's thinking are. Because if they're that backwards to alienate someone that's gay just because they're gay, what could they be doing to some of their other peers?
Like, it's just Walmart. Because somebody
is a it's a Las Vegas Walmart. They have slot machines in the front of the store.
Yeah. So
how can you have a problem with any sort of sin?
That's one of those things where
that almost makes me not want to shop at Walmart now.
That's one of those questions where you sit there and you look at the person, and I've done this myself, and I'll sit there and say, not that it's any of your business, but yeah, I am.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is that it was a female supervisor. If it was a male supervisor, what are you making an offer?
What was she looking for? Was she looking to be a fag hag or something?
Well, you know, if she's a Walmart employee, she probably needs shopping tips.
It's Las Vegas.
She probably needs fashion tips, huh?
Yeah.
It's the city of sin. It's Las Vegas, where they have vice cups to make sure there's enough vice going on.
Speaking of that kind of stuff.
Takes one to know one.
Here's a couple little stories that... Well, this first one would probably definitely get the teabaggers in a frenzy. The other one's from another country. The article starts with this question. Is 449,400... $37 too much to study bareback flirting.
Bareback what?
Flirting.
Flirting.
If you are like so many gay men, you've probably spent thousands on website memberships, gym fees, grooming products, tight clothes, sparkling alcohol, sex toys, and intensive psychotherapy to try and figure out the secrets of successful flirting. But if you were a smart homosexual, you would have applied for a grant like Brooklyn College's Assistant Professor of Health and Nutrition Sciences, Christian Grove, did. Grove will get to blow $450,000 figuring out whether barebackers prefer nonverbal flirting in person or verbal flirting online. Silly professor, don't you know that horny web surfers spend more time jerking off on camera than actually talking to each other? The National Institute of Health awarded Grove a support of competitive research grant to conduct his in-depth 3-year study. He explains, a study I published in 2007 found out that bars/clubs, bathhouses, and the internet were the three most common venues that gay and bisexual men use to meet partners. In this new study for those venues, we will use time spacing samplings, which involve the creation of a list of every possible place and then the random assignment of recruitment teams to each venue at random time intervals to avoid any bias.
So if I see somebody outside the men's room with a clipboard, that's why?
Yeah. Hey, or he's just a size queen.
That
well,
too.
I have to ask, how deep do they plan to go?
Yeah, he went there.
Well, here's a picture of the professor and...
He likes it deep.
Yeah. No, I bet.
So Grove will need to pay research volunteers to patrol bathhouses and bareback sluts at .net at all hours of the night, for science. But does he really need almost $500,000 to do it?
Of course. How else is he going to pay all these people?
The average subscription price for a cruisy website is about $15 a month, and a one-year membership to a bathhouse costs about $300 a year. Or so I've heard. Assuming,
how much is it, Mark?
Or assuming Roke's not buying sex toys and tight clothes for his bareback buddies, how the heck is he going to burn through $500,000 in 3 years? Where is the approval committee for his budgeting costs? And most importantly, does lube count as a research expenditure?
Yes.
This was.
Well, it's for so all those pencils and paper and clipboards.
Oh, my.
I'm so glad you clarified with that story, because, you know, it, bareback and flirting, if you're at bareback, you've gone way past flirting. Yeah. I was like, what the frill?
Now, for those of you who think this is just an American thing.
Oh. But wait,
there's more.
Let's go way down under.
Australia.
We're going to go deeper?
We're going down under.
Oh, I see.
Taxpayers are funding workshops for men on how to use gay saunas and sex clubs. A four-week program.
How to use one?
Yeah. A four-week program organized by the AIDS Council of New South Wales, Australia, which is displayed on their website, teach men how to cruise a sex club and reject unwanted advances. They also visit a sex club as part of one course. Upper House MP Reverend Dr. Gordon Moyes said the government had failed to get its priorities right. Mm-hmm. There may be a legitimate use for these workshops, but you don't need to spend 4 weeks on them at taxpayer expense, the Reverend said. You have people in the community who can't get elective surgery. I think the priorities are wrong. They're not only morally questionable, but in terms of priorities, they're out of whack with what the people need, what the public needs. And this is being paid for by taxpayers to allow people to have sexual gratification. Last year, NSW, New South Wales, Health Department gave more than $8 million in grants to ACON, which promotes itself as Australia's largest community-based GLBT health and HIV/AIDS organization. The Department of Community Services provided another $96,000 for their work. State Health Minister Carmel Tebbutt endorsed ACON's programs yesterday. She said the NSW government was committed to reducing the rates of sexually transmitted infections, including HIV/AIDS, within our community. The government has a range of programs in place to address these issues, and NSW has achieved stable rates of HIV at the time of increases nationally and in many comparable jurisdictions overseas. Mr. said, could not say how much the grant went towards the courses, which have been running for 15 years.
So what happened to offering free STD testing and condoms?
They probably have that too, but you can get those at the bathhouse if you go on the right day.
And why would you need to know how to cruise a bathhouse? I thought that was just common sense and trial and error.
I think that was instinctive. I mean,
well, you know,
obviously,
I think when the person starts hurling, when they look at you and you drop your towel, they're going to go, and you realize they're not wanted. Yeah. For to me, you know, you just walk around the bathhouse and you say, like, no.
And if somebody looks at you and a stream of words I can't say on the air comes out of his mouth, ended with the word off, you know, that's an indication they don't want to be anywhere near you. Move
usually
on.
When they just open the door, spread their legs, and tell you to come in, I think that's usually a pretty good sign that they're interested.
Yeah. Yep.
I have
and
to agree.
If you're not interested, you just pass on by.
I'm pretty sure that's a fairly universal bathhouse mating call right there. That's you know,
yeah.
Right up there with God, am I drunk?
How drunk is he?
We're not going to go there, Merlin.
We're
in this room.
We're going to stay down under and go
next door.
Next door to New Zealand.
Ooh.
Did a gay New Zealand airport guard enjoy strip searching too much? Glenn Rankin and John Smith, two security officers with New Zealand's Christchurch International Airport, got sacked for allegedly talking to the press about a, quote, flamboyant, unquote, gay co-worker who sought more than his share of strip search assignments, made lewd comments about male passengers, and used recreational drugs. Rankin and Smith denied talking to the press and want their jobs back, but their former bosses are not so agreeable. Meanwhile, the homo in question, who's also accused of using recreational drugs, still works for the airport. As for all the strip search notches, Customs Manager Stuart Lumsden said that they only seem high because he worked the busiest shifts and was often the only male officer available to conduct searches on men, and only did so with the approval of a senior officer. Can a homo take a pleasure in his work without being labeled a perv?
If you look at that picture, I wouldn't call you a perv. I'd call you damn lucky.
I think it's from some porno. They just did a still pic of it.
Well, at least he wasn't tap dancing in the bathroom, you know?
Tap dancing butt naked?
No, tap dancing in the bathroom. Like Larry Craig.
Like Larry Craig.
Well, let's go with... Let's bring up one of our pillars of the roundtable. Let's do a little bit of hypocrisy.
Yay!
Oh, boy, what do we got?
Lutheran pastor Tom Brock blamed a tornado last year on homosexuality, which apparently he suffers from.
Wait. A tornado?
A tornado made him gay?
No. The Reverend Tom Brock, senior pastor at Hope Lutheran Church in North Minneapolis, is aware... is the winner who blamed an August tornado during the Evangelical Lutheran something-something. Some Lutheran confab thing they had.
Oh, I see.
Tornado hit the area. He blamed it because of the gay clergy vote on the gays. Yes, for real. Brock took his congregation out of the ELCA because of their tolerance for homosexuality and funding for pastor abortions. And spent countless sermons on YouTube railing against you queers. But what is this? Brock is a member of a group, therapy group for recovering homosexuals. The Reverend Brock belongs to Faith in Action, a Minnesota chapter of the Catholic Church's Courage Group, which teaches gays how to avoid giving in to their gay feelings. That's a report out of The Lavender, the queer Minnesota magazine, which exposes Brock as a member of the tribe struggling with his same-sex attractions.
No, it hits your little thingy because of you.
But wait.
There's more.
Oh,
struggling with his same-sex attractions, which proved too great on a recent trip to Slovakia.
Did he go to rentboy.com?
Reporter John Townsend. No, but we're talking about Rentboy later.
Oh.
Reporter John writes about his encounter with Brock at one of these meetings. Quote, at one end of the table, Brock sat adjacent to me. On the opposite end was Love Fontaine. After opening remarks, reading, recitation, and prayer, he asked us how we've been faring over the past week since we last attended, or in my case, since my interview with the participants we're calling a gender disorder. Reverend Brock recounted he'd been a good week. He'd been on a trip to the East Coast and kept his mind off men. Following the first round, following the first round were moments when attendees brought up feeling excluded and stigmatized his boys for being inept at sports. Brock observed that sometimes he feels effeminate because he has no interest to the sports page, and he feels deficient because he finds society's mass interest in sports to be a bore. On the other hand, most of the men, including Brock, expressed a deep love for opera and classical music. He related that he's especially fond of a Ralph Vaughan Williams composition. When the topic of same-sex marriage came up, Brock stated, "The world needs heterosexual marriage." Another person chimed in, calling same-sex marriage a cult of mutual masturbation, oblivious to the unintentional humor.
Okay.
At one point, Brock becomes very intense, talking about some of the recent statistics and percentage of HIV/AIDS cases caused by homosexual conduct had increased. He was accurate, which is why safer sex information should be widely available, something the group certainly would oppose. At the May 28th meeting, as usual, the priest facilitator, this time Livingston, opening with a reading and a prayer. The individual participants then shared how well or not they referenced to maintain chastity had been over the past week or since their last attendance. Brock looked buffer than previously in a tight-fitting short-sleeved shirt that accentuated biceps and triceps more ripped than a month before.
Did you find this story on nifty.org?
No, queerty.com.
Oh, okay.
When it was Brock's turn to share, he related that he recently went on a preaching mission to Slovakia, where he met with other clergy. Then Brock admitted, "I fell into temptation. I was weak. That place has this really, really weird demonic energy, and I got weak. I had been good for a long time. Things have been going well for me for a long time. There's lots of gypsies there.
Oh, Lord.
According to Brock, he confessed the foregoing to somebody at Hope Lutheran Church. Brock clearly was put off by the gypsy presence in Slovakia, continuing with a sense of revulsion in his voice. They're toothless, filthy. They smell, stink, and the gypsies are trained how to pick your pocket.
Did he go to Slovakia or Tennessee?
Yes.
The article ends with, "Welcome, Brock, to the fold of George Allen Reekers, where closeted homophobes must travel internationally to get their rocks off."
Oh, this is going to get better. I can already tell.
Now, this story I've got next shows how far we have come. That's C-O-M-E. Openly gay Minnesota State Senator Paul Curring was out on a date with a gay porn star named Brandon Wild last weekend.
Okay.
And there's no big deal about it. Wild nice. First tweeted about his night with Keating on Sunday evening, writing, "LOL, so funny. In 45 minutes, I'm going to dinner with the senator." Smiley face. The senator, Keating, picked up Wild and took him to Evans on the Bay restaurant in Brainerd, where they dined on strip steak, I bet, and beef medallions.
Probably more like beef steak.
Tube steak.
Too.
Yeah, well, that was later.
A strip and a steak. In an exclusive interview with The Sword, Keating was unapologetic. "I don't see anything wrong with going out with him. I do think that being a porn star is the best thing. No, but that's his choice. I think he's a nice guy." Curring, who came out in 2005, supports Minnesota's ban on same-sex marriage and voted against the gay marriage bill, but told Wild the opposite. He told me that he wants to be president one day, but first he needs to win his re-election. He said once he was re-elected, he'd work on gay rights issues and no hate stuff, you know. But he said he'd make it so gay marriage was legal in Minnesota. Curring denies expressing that to Wild. "I don't remember telling him any of that. I don't support gay marriage. My job is..."
Yeah,
this is a good thing, you know. He said, "I don't support gay marriage. My job is to support my constituents, and that's not something they want. But something Curring does want is a second date."
And well, he wants some more of that tube steak, huh?
And, well, maybe marriage after that. I mean, they have a shot of the porn star. He does have nipples, so...
Oh, hey, good. Awesome. Hey.
And two paw prints on his chest.
Ooh.
Above the nipples. And Curring, yeah, they got a shot with him. Fortunately, his nipples are covered.
Of course.
And we can all be glad for that.
Nobody wants to see that.
Let's see. Crime blotter.
Oh,
this one.
Anything good on the crime blotter?
Oh, yes.
I don't think being a porn star is all that good an idea, but that doesn't stop me from watching movies.
Exactly.
Not a great career choice, but hey, doesn't stop me from watching.
Which was?
You'll watch them because they got pretty hot guys in them, right?
There you go.
I watch it for the dialogue.
Just like you
read
Playgirl. You read Playgirl for the articles, huh?
Playgirl? I thought they canceled that.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they brought it back.
Follow-up story here on a little cutie from over in Georgia. We were talking about all the gay proms.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The second one that came out was Derek Martin, who wanted to take his boyfriend to the prom, and his school said yes, and then his father kicked him out of the house.
Right.
Way to go, Dad.
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day. That's some unconditional love for you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Father's Day.
Mm-hmm. So they did a follow-up interview because he was at some events there. They've got him... apparently, he was at a couple of no-hate rallies. Still looking cute as ever. So they asked him, you know, how the prom was. It was a lot of fun. Was it worth it? Definitely. People come to think to feel protective of you and want to know how you're living. He says, right now, he's between places. He's half living with his boyfriend and half living with a really, really close friend. He's playing it by ear. He hasn't spoken with his parents for a while. In the fall, he's going to Georgia Southern University to study pre-law under a full scholarship, so that kind of saved him.
Oh, congratulations.
And it includes a year of housing.
You go, Chow.
Awesome.
So that's what the status is with his parents. He says, you know, he's just giving them time. They need time to repair themselves and think about who they are and what's going on with their lives.
Well, you know, it's always, we've always talked about, you know, when you come out to your family, they have to come out too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that takes time.
To come out on the stage that he did.
Yes.
They asked him if he's going to continue with his LGBT advocacy and says, definitely, I'll march on any street in any town. Montrose, come down. We'd love to see you.
Hello.
How do you
Pride
feel?
Next week.
Pride? A week from now.
Yeah. How do you feel about getting about all the attention you've been getting? And he says, I think the LGBT community is such a great family. Everyone just looks out for everyone. People I don't know are asking, are you okay? Do you need anything? You need a house? You need money? Can we film?
yeah, how about you?
The key thing is the last question they asked him is, will you and Richard still be able to see each other? And the answer was, yes, we're going to the same college.
Baby. Cool. Hello.
Welcome to Frat...
Fratboys.com.
Fratpad.com, what?
Well, you know, there's that new website where you try and get straight guys to do gay things and they'll pay you $10,000.
Yeah, I've never mind.
That's not Broke Straight Boys, is
no,
it?
No.
Mark's got a membership to that website, I think.
It's brand new. They don't have a lot of videos up there. They'll be... Ooh, I'd like to see them unhaze him. Oh.
Anyhow.
Okay.
You know, he's the activist. That's the boyfriend.
I'll take the boyfriend, thank you.
No, the other one, they're both cute. One's blonde. The boyfriend's one. Richard's the blonde one. Derek is the real geeky-looking one.
Geeky is good.
I'm so not getting out of this chair like the rest of this crowd. I'm just not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Won't turn that way.
It's quite all right.
Check it out when you get on your computer at home.
What computer? He's in the Stone Age. To quote from one of my favorite now defunct sci-fi shows, Frelu.
Let me get out my hammer and chisel.
Frelu, very, very
much. Make you a copy.
And now the latest Rent Boy story.
Oh, boy.
Scissor Sisters... Lead singer Jake Shears has a Rent Boy profile.
Oh.
With pictures.
Mm. Hey. So how much does he go for?
And believe me, I'd do him.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're too late. We had to scroll down to the bottom.
He's got a lovely South 40 for a boy who weighs about 5 pounds soaking wet.
Boy. He's like 33.
I know.
Well, but
still
to
makes
you.
Him younger than me by... Almost by
age.
9 years.
Rentboy.com is an ideal. It's not just an ideal place for anti-gay whack jobs to find luggage handlers.
Awesome. That part.
That was good. It is also an ideal place for Scissor Sister Jake Shears to hawk his band's new album, Nightwork. The band has apparently been shooting fake dollar bills out of a confetti cannon during their concerts. The bills say, make some cash, F the rich. And have a web address to scissorsisters.com/XXX, a URL that leads to Shear's Rent Boy profile. On his profile, he lists his talents as stripping and go-go dancing and charges $11.99. Presumably the cost of the album that comes out on June 28th.
Oh, cool.
He also says, I'm down to earth, have tons of energy, and will make you sweat all night long. Of course, Jake...
Is that him or the music?
Of course, Jake already made a sweat with his magazine spreads in the month before.
But if he's selling, you know what? I'm buying.
You know, in the extras of the Scissor Sisters concert video, you could see him without his clothes on.
Come on. Trying to delete the dirty thing that popped up.
There's some extras in there with him with where he.
Yeah, he was last week. He was in a magazine called Tattoo.
You watched it over and over and over again, Merlin.
My. It's probably a rotten DVD.
What was the name of that magazine? What?
Tattoo. TETU. And the picture, you know, those pants are sagging.
If they're really sagging. And I like the way they sag.
Another centimeter and we would see root.
Ooh, hey. Ooh. You know, on some guys,
my.
Their root showing is a good thing.
Yeah.
On others,
not so much.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Let's go to the crime.
Well, but there's somebody else in that group who I think is cuter than he is, but okay.
Baby, the bear?
No.
The other guy.
That other window didn't close.
There's another guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow.
Okay, so to the crime blotter now?
No, we're going to do one more thing before we go to the crime blotter. Is that a Willy Wonka bar? Be forewarned, I'm about ready to use British terms. I'm not translating into English for you folk, so you're screwed. A stunned mum is nearly choked on her favorite chalks when she found one shaped like a Willy. Elizabeth McClure, 38, was tucking into a packet of Cadbury's Nibbles when she picked out the saucy sweet. But furious, Elizabeth failed to see the funny side and now has demanded an apology from the confectionery giant. She is convinced that the 3-inch treat was deliberately fashioned by workers.
3 inches?
There's got a picture of it here. Elizabeth of Port Glasgow, who bought the chalks in a Tesco branch in Greenock, said you might expect it from an Ann Summers party, but not Cadbury's. It's stamped on the back with the Cadbury's, so it came from their factory. I can take a joke, but any child could have found this. It's vile. It's the level of detail is disgusting, and I felt sick that it was only 3 inches.
And I'm young enough.
What?
My 2.5-year-old grandson eats these, and I would have been horrified if he found it. Size queen. I called Cadbury's.
He's 2.5. He probably wouldn't have noticed.
I called Cadbury's to complain, but as soon as they found out what it is, they didn't want to know. They just send it back. They wouldn't give me a contact for complaints and told me to post the chocolate to them. Their attitude was terrible. Last night, a Cadbury spokesman said it appears some of the nibbles had melted.
Oh.
Basically, these things look like a kind of a finger, and you know, it melted in the package and just reformed it. One of them was kind of swirly at the bottom and one swirled up, and it does kind of look like a penis.
Penis?
Penis.
A penis. Upon us. I really do love the way the English talk.
Peen, I'm sorry, peen.
And I've watched enough of, you know, EastEnders to get most of what he just said.
And now, the crime blotter.
Dun, dun, dun.
A 94-year-old Arizona man is accused of sexually assaulting children in the past, was arrested for masturbating in a neighbor's garage using a vacuum as his pleasure device.
What?
Holy.
What, he never heard of posse
that?
According to reports, Dale Warren Graham, 94, let me remind you of that, 94, was arrested last Thursday after a neighbor alerted police that Graham was in the garage of a home that
careful,
didn't...
Jimmy might come and run in here trying to get his address.
He was in the garage.
Oh!
Was in the garage of a home that did not belong to him and was pleasuring himself with the vacuum cleaner down his pants.
Shot back?
Hoover. Actually, I think it was more like he was jiggling the Dyson ball. Payson police said the arrest follows a 3-week investigation on claims that he inappropriately touched several young children ranging in ages from 8 to 17. He was arrested for public sexual indecency, aggravated assault, and child molestation.
And
how did he catch up with children? How did a man that old catch up with any children?
Well, considering the fact that this article has two pictures, one is has two videos. One is a from the Fox affiliate down there, and the other one, I'm not playing it, was he also says it has a creepy resemblance to Family Guy's Herbert the Pervert.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like,
and so they have a video of Herbert, Family Guy.
That's depressing.
From, if I remember correctly, Missoula, Montana. Police are on the lookout for a man who allegedly took 2 yet-to-be-inflated blow-up dolls from a downtown sex shop on Sunday before making his getaway on a single-seat bicycle.
What's the matter? There weren't any sheep available?
I guess. I was pretty much in shock, says Diane Joy, manager of Missoula's Fantasies for Adults Only. I drove around for a while to see if I could find a bicycle or maybe he dumped them. According to Joy, the man entered the store, browsed the blow-up dolls before asking an on-duty clerk what time the shop closed. The suspect then left and returned just before 10 p.m. when a store employee was preparing to shut down for the night. Joy says the suspect came back and told the clerk that he aimed to purchase 2 dolls, the newly released Jessie Jane and an ultra-real Julie. That prompted the clerk to remove the goods from a locked case, place them on the counter, and began to tally the sale. The suspect then allegedly grabbed the dolls and ran out of the store's tinted door before hopping on a bicycle and pedaling quickly eastward towards the library. Joy says fantasy experiences minor thefts periodically, but incidents of this magnitude are rare. Police say Jesse Jane and Ultra Real Julie are valued at $140 each.
Wow.
They were the more expensive ones.
Sheep would have been cheaper.
The suspect was a white male with curly blonde hair, around 40 years old, standing 5'10" to 6' tall, weighing approximately 190 pounds. He was wearing an orange T-shirt with yellow vertical stripes and green shorts.
Boy, that would stand out anywhere.
He was seen in the company made of Jesse Jane with, when properly inflated, his 5'3", red hair, no clothing, but a tassel.
See, this is why he left them uninflated, because the drag on the bike, trying to fly down the street with two inflated, would just have been...
I was going to say, wait a minute, there wasn't a drag queen in this story.
Because they were on a bicycle built for two.
Apparently that was a bicycle built for three.
Well, three's company.
Yeah.
And you're a crowd.
And
laser, so I hear. But anyway,
hey, and like you wouldn't know about the Three's Company.
Here we go. We're another one of our
pillars.
Pillars.
Oh God, here we go.
This one's really good. But this is also from Australia, from South Wales. A Swansea man is admitted to possessing extreme pornographic images of people engaging in sexual activity with animals, including one of a woman having intercourse with a dead squid or octopus.
Ew.
Ew.
Oh. Andrew Charles DeMond from Mumbles also has 60 pornographic photos of children, the judge was told. The 46-year-old pled guilty to the 25-count indictment when he appeared in Crown Court. Between January 2007 and September last year, DeMond committed 14 offenses of making indecent photos of the children the court heard. On September 8th last year, he was found to be in possession of 57 indecent photos. He was also found to be in possession of 10 images categorized as extreme pornography. Five of these portrayed acts likely to result in serious injury to people's breasts or genitals, the court heard. The others showed people engaging in sexual activity with animals, namely horses, dogs, and a dead squid or octopus.
That just takes necrophilia to a whole new level.
Yeah. Oh. Necrophilia, necrobestiality.
Oh, calamari.
Oh.
Calamari's not a safe word.
Oh. That was just wrong.
Yeah.
On many levels.
When we first talked about that off the air, I was wondering where that was going, and I'm so glad they clarified that was a dead squid, because a live one will take the parts off that you stick in its mouth.
Well, the thing is that, you know, how did that happen? Because the beak of the animal and the woman's area are about the same, aren't they?
I don't know if she was using a tentacle to pleasure herself.
Yeah, that would be a very bad idea in and of its own self.
I mean, you think about, you know, with a squid or an octopus, basically, I mean, you put the beak basically around the navel area, use one of the tentacles wrapped around each nipple like it's sneaking, you know, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you could also be doing a shocker at the same time. You've got enough arms to go around.
You know. Scarily
Thank
enough,
you
I
for
watch enough.
To find that for me.
I watch enough. I watch enough PBS and Discovery Channel to know
what the shocker is. I know Ernie's going a little wild on there, but come on.
To know that the suckers on the tentacles of
no, it's this way.
Those
That's
creatures
right, this way.
Have teeth in them. They have sharp. That you could do yourself some serious physical damage sticking something anywhere near
and
those.
For those of you who are trying to figure out what I mean by the shocker, Google it. All right, now I do want to see if I can
I don't know. Tentacle porn just came to mind for some reason.
Okay, guys.
All right, we're going to try a little thing. This is... Carrie, Jimmy, you're going to love this. you missed the octopus sex, but this is from a PBS... I'm sorry, not PBS, I'm sorry. BBC program... called Everyone Loves a Lesbian. This is featuring puppets.
I think you'd make a really excellent lesbian.
Oh.
Basically a magpie talking to a pigeon.
And think of the benefits. For one, you'd make a lot of new friends. If you're uncomfortable with coming out, just listen to what I said, Ben. Whatever. Thank you.
How's that for a way to end the show?
Well, isn't that nice?
You can go and find that on YouTube. It's Mongrels from BBC Three. Everyone loves a lesbian. Well, you've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up in a little bit is Zadika Pasale.
Oh, yeah.
Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, next week it is our Pride show. We will be coming back from the Pride Parade. We will be more tired than usual. We will be sweaty. We'll be smelly and all that other fun stuff. Oh,
yes. It'll be like a great night with sex.
But we'll be happy.
We'll be happy.
And very gay.
Enjoy your Pride week. Get ready for Saturday. We'll be back next week. Do the PSA. Zadika Pasale. This is KPFT Houston.
The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom will be sponsoring the 11th annual Houston Peace Camp for Children, grades K through 5, July 19th through the 23rd, and July 26th through the 30th. For more information, go to their website at www.peacecamphouston.com or call 713-726-1266. You've been listening to KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
KPFT has just completed our Spring 2010 membership campaign. If you were one of the many listeners who joined this drive, thank you very much. You've made a contribution to your community that is appreciated. It will go a long way to bringing you the great radio you've come to enjoy. Before you know it, your membership envelope will arrive in the mail. Don't forget to pay your pledge. The great feeling you get when you support KPFT feels even better once you drop that check in the mail. And if you missed your chance to join and support the news, music, and other great programming you hear each day, there's still time. Join online kpft.org and do your part, or call 713-526-4000 to make a